Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today's Thursday. It's November 15th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, New Jersey State Police have arrested a 65-year-old woman after they say dozens of dogs were found dead in freezers and more than 100 more living in filth inside her home. 65-year-old Donna Roberts of Shamong Township is now facing charges for allegedly keeping all of the animals in deplorable and inhumane conditions in and around the house on Oakshade Road. Detectives responded to Roberts' residence to assist the Burlington County Health Department with an inspection on Tuesday. When they arrived, they say they observed evidence of animal cruelty inflicted upon various breeds of dogs on the property. The odor of animal feces and ammonia was said to permeate the inside of the residence, which caused several of the responders to experience dizziness and nausea. Detectives discovered 161 dogs inside the squalor, as well as 44 deceased dogs that were packaged in plastic bags and stored in freezers throughout the residence.
Whoa.
Yeah. Crazy.
You know what? I need to see a picture of this house, just the outside of it, to say, like, how do people, you know what I mean? Are there people, like, right next door that know, oh, yeah, it's just 100 dogs next door making noise. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah,
how do you have... we assume this is a slightly rural home, or is it a row home?
Yeah.
Or how the hell do you live? You'd have to be in a remote location. You 160 dogs,
and that's different than cats. I mean, you hear this story a lot with cats.
Yes.
You could hide that. They're not that loud. But all these
Bumpus
dogs
only had seven.
Yeah.
But I mean, all these dogs, like, they make noise. They bark. They, you know.
And is this a case, Kathy? A hoarder who is trying to do good and then starts to just fall off that precipice and you get a situation like this?
That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, you know what, but why package them up and put them in the freezer? But then I thought about it. If it's just her, like when my cat died, Dennis had a hard time digging that hole to bury the cat. So I'm like, she couldn't have done that.
Well, that, and like Steve said, this may be a hoarder and they have trouble letting anything
paper go.
Exactly.
Even dead animals.
Exactly.
So that may be the case. I don't know. This person's got a problem, obviously. So,
They said in and around. So my guess is that, yes, there were some of the dogs outside, and maybe that's why authorities went, because, neighbors called. Who
and by the way, these they're going to check these dogs out, and they're going to go into the system. So you may want to consider in a little bit, if you've ever wanted a dog, adopting a dog, you might want to check into that. It's a wonderful thing to do.
Kathy, where was it again?
This is in New Jersey.
Shamong.
It's in Burlington County.
In Shamong, right?
Shamong. It's pretty rural.
Okay.
It's right next to Ehe.
Shamong.
Shamong.
So it was determined that four of the dogs were in critical condition and had to be transported to an emergency veterinary clinic. The remaining dogs were evaluated and treated at the scene by animal shelter workers.
Here, Jason lives just a couple of minutes away from the house with the dogs. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay. All right, man. So you, it says here you're about 10 minutes from that house. So you know the exact home that we're talking about?
No, I don't. Oh. But I didn't even realize it was on Oakshade Road till you said, which is less than 10 minutes from my house.
Okay.
In the middle of the woods.
So it's in the middle of the woods. Okay. We would imagine it would have to be something like that, because I don't know how you could be in sort of a more densely suburban area and get away with, I mean, as Kathy pointed out, cats are a different story.
Yep.
You're talking this many dogs, it's going to be, first off, a nonstop bark fest, and then a putrid smell. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
161. Now, the picture that I saw were all very small dogs. I'm sure there were other kinds, but still, 161. Yeah. Good Lord,
we had two small dogs in my house. They make a ton of noise.
Seriously,
you know? We got a cat years ago, Kathy, from a woman who one of these hoarders in Rocky Point, Long Island. Well, they seized all the animals from the house, and we were trying to get this one cat adopted. It was pandemonium in the house. The animals, you know, and this one cat just had nervous seizures.
Because it was too much.
Nightmare for these animals.
I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody texted and said, hey, guys, that woman cut all the dog's vocal cords because of noise complaints.
No.
There's this is a horrible thing that's going on where people are paying to have that or trying to get that procedure done, but I don't believe. But it's possible. Who knows?
I don't know.
Roberts was charged with animal cruelty and released with a pending court date. The case is being prosecuted by the Burlington County Prosecutor's Office. The arrival of a wintry mix of sleet and snow, which will eventually change over to steady rain, is expected today.
I'm so mad because I left like my ice scraper and all that stuff at my house.
Well, you
don't
know.
I forgot.
Yep.
No, Preston, I made sure it was right by the door so I could leave it at home.
Yes.
It will turn to rain, though.
Yeah. Just by the time we might have snow on the vehicles, but later on today it should be rain. Yeah.
A wintry weather advisory is in effect for throughout the day into tonight across all counties in New Jersey and Delaware that touch the Delaware River, as well as southeastern Pennsylvania. Slippery roads are possible prior to the changeover to rain. After that, street flooding will become an issue.
I think, listen, I love fall into winter where it's seasonably chilly around Thanksgiving or whatever. That's great. Get past that. And then you can start to snow closer to Christmas. And then, you know, for a little bit after. And then stop!
Yes.
Because last year, do you remember? I was looking at some of it, going back over the calendar. Do you remember how late we were getting big storms last year?
We got a nor'easter in March.
Yeah.
Well, right? and then what happened, I remember, is we'll get the storm, and then it just stays cold, and the snow doesn't go away.
Yes.
It doesn't have a moment to melt, and then you're just stuck with it. And while it's beautiful and pristine at first, after a while it becomes barren and depressing. So
absolutely. And we had a suck-ass summer.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do a holiday activity tonight.
You are.
I know. And I think with all the rain and, like, you know, mass confusion, people trying to get their kids from school, like, it's just going to be
You should
too
come
much.
Drinking in Westchester instead. I'll be at Ryan's Pub from 7 to 9. Yeah.
There's an activity for you. By the way, Kathy's holiday activities list coming up
next week. Oh,
next
week.
And we're promised a stellar one.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Yeah.
So a mix of sleet and snow for the first time in these areas will lead to slippery roads. There should be little to no accumulation in South Jersey and Delaware. A coating to 1 inch of slushy accumulation along the 95 corridor, and then slushy 1 to 3 inches in the northwest suburbs, northern Chester, Montgomery, upper Bucks, and points to the northwest. Now, tonight, the rain will be steady at times throughout the evening before easing back a bit late tonight and overnight.
You know, the worst phrase in during the winter is along the 95 corridor.
Yeah, seriously.
Like,
all right, what's coming now?
Steve, we've had so many soccer practices and games canceled over the last months. And so they'll cancel a game or a practice and then have to reschedule. And then they can only reschedule for a certain amount of time. The fields have just been in terrible shape all fall. I mean, really, it's extended through the summer and the spring.
If I were you guys, God bless you guys for being parents, because I would encourage my son to not have friends and don't get involved in sports.
Stay at home.
Can't you just stay in your room and do things I don't know about?
I love those canceled games. To be honest.
Yeah, to a point, though, man, because they try to cram them in and try and reschedule them as much as possible. But yeah, like the day of when you get that cancellation, it's kind of like school being canceled.
Right.
So in preparation of this wintry mix, one school district has already announced early dismissal.
Really?
Yep. Schools in Lower Moreland Township School District in Montgomery County will close 2 hours and 45 minutes early. The district says this will allow buses, student drivers, and parents picking up students an earlier and safer opportunity to navigate the roadways. All after-school activities in Lower Moreland Township School District are canceled as well. Philadelphia police are investigating separate incidents of two Wawa stores across the city Wednesday night. Officers are looking for a man who held up a Wawa in the Ronhurst section. It happened at 8 o'clock at Solly and Castor Avenues. There's no word yet if anything was taken, and no injuries were reported. A short time later, a man was shot in the creek outside a Wawa in the city's Wissanoming section. That happened at the 4300 block of Comley Street. The 22-year-old victim was taken to the hospital in stable condition. There have been no arrests, and police are investigating both incidents. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Jimmy Butler had 14 points in his Philadelphia debut, but the Sixers collapsed late and lost to Orlando 111-106 after Terrence Ross hit a tie-breaking three-pointer with 8.7 seconds left that helped the Magic complete a big comeback. Butler, the four-time All-Star, played 33 minutes and shot 6-for-12 from the field. Orlando scored 21 straight points in the fourth quarter, then held the Sixers without a field goal over the final 3.5 minutes. Joel Embiid finished with a triple-double of 19 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 nemesis for the Sixers, who lost for the seventh time in 9 road games. They're back home tomorrow night, where they're still undefeated on the season and will host the Utah Jazz. The Flyers are at home tonight with a game against the New Jersey Devils. The Flyers have 9 wins and 19 points on the season and are 3 points behind the Columbus Blue Jackets for first place in the Metro Division, while the Devils are in last place. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. New York Mets right-hander Jacob deGrom won his first Cy Young Award, taking home the National League edition after leading the majors in ERA. DeGrom received 29 first-place votes and 207 points in voting by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Washington's Max Scherzer got the other first-place vote and finished second, while Phillies starter and team ace Aaron Nola finished third. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We got a bunch going on today's program. Today is the Great American Smokeout. We are going to encourage everybody who's been trying to kick the habit to go ahead and make that attempt today. Make a real effort. Go for it. You can do it. I did it. I haven't smoked in 16 years.
There you go.
Yeah.
My wife has been decades, you know, and yeah. it listen.
I didn't know she was a smoker.
She smoked a lot, used to smoke a lot, you know, did the cold turkey, had a brief relapse, and then did it again and done.
I started smoking when I was 14.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yep. I was around smokers.
Yes.
My family, yep. My mom,
yes.
My dad, my sister.
I probably had my first cigarette at like 7.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. I mean, we would, as kids, you know, the parents would be having a party. This was the 1970s, so
sure.
Everybody was smoking. We'd go in, take a cigarette butt. From the ashtray.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
And not inhale, but, you know,
do
the puff thing. And it's just, at the time, everybody's smoking. By the way, smoking is in the United States is at an all-time low, and it continues to go that way. So me personally, being somebody who's given it up and seeing how wonderful it was to be away from that, I you know, if you love to smoke, great. That's you, and all right?
Preston.
You do you.
You do you.
And that's fine. But the amount of money... You'll end up saving. I see cigarette prices. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Is it like $8 a pack now?
It's up there, yes.
Somewhere in that range, Case. Well, I'm glad I don't know anymore, to be honest. So Dr. Rosenberg is going to be here. Hypnotist, therapist, Dr. Rosenpenis.
Do you see on his data sheet?
Dr. Rosenpenis. I'm just here to check out his family smile.
What?
On his check your data sheet.
Okay. Great American Smokeout.
No, top 2 lines.
Top 2 lines. Dr. Steven Rosenberg, Dr. Rosenpenis.
Yeah.
I love it. So he's coming by today. We're going to take a group of people, put them in our conference room, and he is going to hypnotize them. And hopefully that will do the trick. It has worked for many, many people over the years. So we'll talk to the doctor later on this morning, but maybe you have a chance to give it up for good today, and we hope that you do. Also joining us today is actor Daniel Roebuck. He has been in everything, man. I was just going through his IMDb.
It's incredible.
We first got to know him from the show Lost. He played a smaller character, he had a short run on the show, but Dr. Arst was his name.
He had the best, I think, of all of the people that were written off the show. Yeah. He did the best one.
Absolutely.
He was exploded by a stick of dynamite.
He blew up.
It was pretty awesome.
You got a little bit of Arst on you.
And he's right. I forgot about that line. He was in The Fugitive. He was in River's Edge a lot, in a gazillion television shows.
First time I saw him was as Jay Leno on The Late Shift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So he is from the Lehigh Valley. He is the director and star of a movie that was filmed in the Lehigh Valley called Getting Grace, and he's going to be here this morning. By the way, he likes to be called Danny, so we're going to be
Danny it
Danny
is.
Danny Roebuck on later on this morning. Very nice guy. Gotchel's Turkey Bacon is stopping by. We're going to have drunken turkey bacon balls this morning. How about that?
Oh.
Along with many other things today. So we'll do some giveaways in conjunction with those guys. Yes,
and we have an ass load of those to give away, so we want to start early.
An ass
drunken turkey bacon ball.
I will give away some tickets to see Tom Segura live November 16th. That is tomorrow. Oh, my God. At 10:30 p.m. at the Merriam Theater. There's 3 shows that have sold out. Don't miss a chance to get tickets to the 4th show before they're gone. So it's last minute, KimmelCenter.org, but we'll take caller number 10, 215-263-WMMR. Give you a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura.
Excellent.
Let's take a break. Come back in a second. Entertainment Report. Got all that stuff for you. We'll return shortly. Rosenberg is going to be here. Hypnotist, therapist, Dr. Rosenpenis.
You see on his data sheet?
Dr. Rosenpenis. I'm dressed here to check out with the family smile.
What?
On his check your data sheet.
Okay. Great American Smokeout.
No, top two lines.
Top two lines. Dr. Steven Rosenberg, Dr. Rosenpenis.
Yeah.
I love it. So he's coming by today. We're going to take a group of people, put him in our conference room, and he is going to hypnotize them. And hopefully that will do the trick. It has worked for many, many people over the years. So we'll talk to the doctor later on this morning, but maybe you have a chance to give it up for good today, and we hope that you do. Also joining us today is actor Daniel Roebuck. He has been in everything, man. I was just going through his IMDb.
It's incredible.
We first got to know him from the show Lost. He played a smaller character, he had a short run on the show, but Dr. Arst was his name.
He had the best, I think, of all of the people that were written off the show. Yeah. He did the best one.
Absolutely.
It was exploded by a stick of dynamite.
He blew up.
It was pretty awesome.
You got a little bit of Arst on you.
And he's right. I forgot about that line. He was in The Fugitive. He was in River's Edge a lot, in a gazillion television shows.
First time I saw him was as Jay Leno on The Late Shift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So he is from the Lehigh Valley. He is the director and star of a movie that was filmed in the Lehigh Valley called Getting Grace, and he's going to be here this morning. By the way, he likes to be called Danny, so we're going to be
Danny it
Danny
is.
Danny Roebuck on later on this morning. Very nice guy. Gottschall's Turkey Bacon is stopping by. We're going to have drunken turkey bacon balls this morning. How about that? Along with many other things today. So we'll do some giveaways in conjunction with those guys.
Yes, and we have an ass load of those to give away, so we want to start early.
An ass
drunken turkey bacon ball.
I will give away some tickets to see Tom Segura live November 16th. That is tomorrow. Oh, my God. At 10:30 p.m. at the Merriam Theater. There's three shows that have sold out. Don't miss a chance to get tickets to the fourth show before they're gone. So it's last minute, KimmelCenter.org, but we'll take caller number 10-215-263-WMMR. Give you a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura.
Excellent.
Let's take a break. Come back in a second. Entertainment Report. I got all that stuff for you. We'll return shortly.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit hannahandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Okay, I got to mention this now. This is too bizarre. This is the entertainment break, but I'm going to mention this sort of breaking story. So the New Jersey couple who became, this is on NBC10's website. The New Jersey couple who became famous for raising money for a homeless man after he helped with their disabled car, as well as the homeless man himself, will all face charges for allegedly providing a false story in order to raise money for themselves. This is a source familiar with the case that told NBC10 this.
And there's a press conference.
Whoa!
There's a press conference today at 2 o'clock where the prosecutors say that they will release all the information. They haven't leaked any information out. They're just saying...
Mind blown.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Well, so Kathy, what you know those guys over there and you're talking about it. You know, do you think this is a...
Listen, I don't know, but I was telling you guys off the air. My friend who works at NBC 10 had said to me, she's not on air or anything like that, but she had said to me before this even became a controversy last year when they had helped him, she had said to me, just as a friend chatting, she goes, I don't buy this story. I go, what do you mean? I was like, it was a nice, heartfelt story. And she goes, I don't buy it. From the very beginning, this is what she had speculated. She thought that this went down.
All right. Well, we can maybe
we'll talk about it later.
On this later, but I just wanted to get that out there now. So Mark D'Amico, Katie McClure, and Johnny Bobbitt will face charges including conspiracy and theft by deception.
according to the source. And there's a press release today.
And there was the prosecutor has said we are not releasing any information until 2 o'clock. So
but you know things leak. So this is not verified. This is from a source, but it's on the NBC 10 website.
Yep.
Wow. The internet never lies.
And all three of them were at the Camp Out for Hunger last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yep. and you know me, I'm the first to jump to not a conspiracy, but I'm because of the way the internet is and the way these stories get parsed out, I'm always like, and I think we all agree, let's look at this one for a couple of days and see what's going on here. Mm-hmm. But that one immediately caught, this seems so unique and nice.
Yeah,
but
you know what? Nice
and- yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And I said something. When I met the boyfriend, I'm like, why are you in this picture right now?
Well, I remember you saying that. We'll get into it a little bit more later on, but that's breaking news. Wanted to pass that along. Okay.
All right.
Someone's holding a card.
I have a $50 American Express gift card to give away, and you'll be qualified for a $300 American Express gift card. Casey, this question's for you, although I don't want you to answer it out loud.
Okay.
But you just went to Paris.
I did.
The Arc de Triomphe.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Wow.
I'm really hitting the accent, all right? That's what good. Memorial lies directly underneath it?
I got it.
All right. 215-263 WMMR, the Arc de Triomphe, Kathy, on the Champs-Élysées.
Awesome.
You've been there too, Preston.
Yes. Yes. I tried to run around. Tried to run across traffic there. Very good, Casey. You got it correct. All right, 215-263-WMMR. What
There's
memorial lies directly? That was very Pee Wee Herman.
Preston, I had to interview a girl from Cuba the other day, and her name was very Cuban, and I had to say it, and I was asking her how to pronounce it, and she was telling me, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't be like Mayara Pinero, like
right. You have to use the dialect. All right, so birthdays today. While we're waiting for your call, it is Thursday, November 15th. It is Chad Kroger's birthday today. Robin Lee was on for Pierre yesterday and had a Nickelback workforce blog, and they do have a lot of hit songs. Obviously,
Photograph makes me laugh.
And they've made a ton of money. So Chad Kroger's 44 today.
I like him. I like the band. And we had, listen, do I put on Nickelback? No, I do not. But after meeting the guys and the whole thing, yeah, totally fine with him.
Yeah. He's 44. Shailene Woodley, the actress from The Descendants and Divergent.
Detergent.
She's 27.
She just had that movie out where she's with her boyfriend in the boat and they get stranded at sea.
Adrift, right? Yes, yeah.
Did you watch it? No, I hear it's pretty good.
Was she in The Fault in Our Stars as well?
Yes.
Is that her? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. It looked too depressing for me.
It's not a party movie.
Yeah.
Ain't no 16 Candles.
Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh.
You had a thing for her?
Well, some of the first boobs I ever saw were hers from, like, Vacation.
Vacation, and, yeah, European Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
She goes all the way back to movies like Hair.
Hair, absolutely, yeah. And she's great as Patsy Cline and Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yep, she's...
she got beautiful boobies.
Exactly.
Okay. She's 67 today. Sam Waterston. Law and Order.
Love him.
And The Killing Fields.
If he had just done one thing in his career, he'd be a legend to me, Preston, but that would be the SNL skit about robots stealing senior citizens' pharmaceuticals.
It's hilarious.
Hilarious.
He's 78 today. Actor Yaphet Kotto, and you know him. He was in the movie Alien. He was also in Midnight Run. He plays the agent, Alonzo Mosley.
He's also the villain in Live and Let Die.
And Homicide, Life on the Street. He's on that as well. He's 79 today. And then the last birthday, the great Ed Asner.
Wow.
Lou Grant himself. Mary Tyler Moore Show. And, of course, is Santa Claus in Elf, who we'll be seeing very, very soon.
And Up.
And Up, of course, yeah. Yeah. He is 89 years old today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. The Arc de Triomphe, what memorial lies beneath that? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Bethany. Hi there, Bethany.
Hi.
Hey, Bethany, what memorial lies directly under the Arc de Triomphe?
It is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, yes. One moment. For Bethany, we give a $50 American Express gift card, and she's qualified for a $300 American Express gift card as well. So you can catch Last Man Standing. That's who set us up with that 5 days a week at 1 and 1:30 only on 69 WFMZ.
You'll look over there.
TV. All right, so I got some stories for you. We'll start with Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger. They're on the same page in love and life.
The new pair shared the same message on social media, calling attention to one of the victims of the devastating fires ravaging California. The post is dedicated to a guy named William Thatch. He is a children's book author who also tutored Schwarzenegger and her three siblings. In a lengthy post, Schwarzenegger explains that the man lost his lovingly hand-built home and 3,000 copies of his velvet-covered children's book called The Girl Who Saved Christmas.
Wow.
She shared a GoFundMe page writing, "We are excited for the day Will is able to rebuild his home where we can all go and visit and create new memories here there with him."
This is the one I was talking about yesterday where people were giving them crap for posting this about is Chris Pratt's Instagram handle, and he reposted her post.
Okay.
And people were giving them a hard time because they were there posting these things on social media in support of their friend.
Come on.
I know.
They're just trying to help their friend
out. My guess is, and as we listen, I cannot believe that they're not going to help him out financially, but they're just asking for other people to help if they can, if they're fans of his book and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
The picture that we see here, which is one that made the rounds on a lot of websites, is a firefighter standing basically in front of a mountain on fire.
Yeah, yeah. This post marks the first time that Pratt has mentioned Schwarzenegger on that's going to be every time I say the name, right?
Of course, yeah.
On social media. Pratt and Schwarzenegger have reportedly been inseparable since falling in love, and their relationship has received the full blessing from both of their families. They've been photographed multiple times on family outings and at church together.
I just saw a picture of them, actually. They'd gone on a brunch date, and Schwarzenegger was there with whoever he's with.
Okay. So they're doing well. One of the most widely despised bachelors in history, Ari Leyendyke Jr.
Yes.
Has shared the news that he and fiance Lauren Burnham are expecting a child together.
So this is the one that proposed and then changed it immediately. Oh, and then remember we played the audio of him walking around the house trying to explain why he changed his mind.
Yeah, so he had famously asked Becca Cufrin to marry him.
I love you. Before Becca, I love you so much.
Before realizing that Burnham was the one he actually...
Did I say Beckham? I meant Burnham.
The one he actually loved.
One of the ones with the B.
After dumping Becca Cufrin on national television, he proposed...
Begurkin, I love you. Who's boy?
Becca Cufrin.
Becca... We love you.
Becca Cufrin.
I love you, Becca.
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 Cufrin.
Fire.
He proposed to Burnham on after the final rose in March. They have a baby on the way. Burnham told...
I love the baby.
Burnham told Us Weekly, "I kind of had a feeling that I might be pregnant, so my friend insisted on bringing a pregnancy test over. Ari came out with the test in his hand and
I
tears in his...
This happened because of my penis.
And tears in his eyes.
Jeez.
And he was like, you're pregnant. Burnham posted on Instagram, "Our greatest adventure begins June 2019, adding a baby emoji to it. Leyendyke wrote, "Nothing compares. Absolutely nothing compares to the moment you find out that you're going to be a dad. We cried. We laughed. And it really was such a special moment for us. We're so freaking happy."
We're so freaking happy.
Yeah, so.
I'll be so happy when my baby comes out of her butthole.
That's not where it comes out.
What?
No, no.
How does it work?
Remember where your thing went?
Very different.
To make the baby? Yeah, that's going to be stretched out for a long time now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now he gets it.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
Just when I think.
Nope.
Butthole.
The guy is dumber than dirt.
Well, they all feel that way. Leyendyke and Burnham are set to marry in Hawaii on January 12th. So do you think
they'll... I want to stay local.
Do you think they'll do... They'll film that and make a big thing.
Of course.
That's why it's in Hawaii.
It's an actual wedding, and that's all going to be paid for, right? So, yeah, it continues.
You saw the, by the way, do you have it? I don't know. Maybe you have it in the entertainment report. But the Bachelor house was in the line of the fire.
No, I didn't see that.
It skirted having any issues with the fire, but they I think ABC and the owner of the house hired a top level security team to protect the house because it's become a bit of a landmark because Bachelor fans come by it all the time.
My cousin Tyler posted a video online yesterday. It was on Facebook, and he's standing here. He's pointing down to the bottom of this hill. He's like, okay, so we live right there.
Yeah.
And it was probably 300-400 yards away. He's like, we live right down there. And then he turns the camera around, and everything is just burnt.
Scorched earth.
Wow.
And it came that close to their house.
Did you see the shot of the highway with the fire right up to the side of the highway?
No, I didn't see that.
It's crazy when you hear about the fire jumping a highway.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? You figure, okay, you've got a whole bunch of lanes of traffic, maybe six lanes of traffic. We're good. That's where the fire's going
to
stop.
When you have 60-mile-an-hour, like, Santa Ana winds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just all takes a couple embers to get across to blow across the road, and there you go. All right, so if you always pictured a royal life as some sort of Disney cartoon fantasy, Prince Charles feels you as the royal approaches his 70th birthday, which was yesterday, by the way.
I feel you, home slice.
It has been revealed that Charles, a la Cinderella and Snow White, enjoys inviting wee woodland creatures into his home.
Huh.
Per a new feature in Country Life, the prince has become besotted with the red squirrels that scamper about his Scotland property.
They're delicious.
No.
Don't eat them.
He has
put a tongue depressor up their buttocks and cook them over an open flame.
He has named several of them and allows them into his house to frolic. Now, Prince William said he is completely infatuated by the red squirrels that live around the Burke Hall estate in Scotland. He said, to the extent that he's given them names and is allowing them into the house.
All right, he sounds like he's going a little bit crazy.
There's a little bit of a disconnect happening.
So Charles says they come into the house at Burke Hall and
you met my dragon?
And we get them chasing each other round and round inside.
He said, what's going on here?
He said, if I sit there quietly, they will do so around me.
You're insane.
He said, sometimes when I leave my jackets on the chair with nuts in the pockets, I see them with their tails sticking out as they hunt for nuts. He said they are incredibly special creatures.
I encountered somebody here in Pennsylvania one time who had never seen a squirrel before.
What?
And she, I don't know where she grew up. It was obviously not in this area.
Yeah.
And it was like, Steve, she had seen a unicorn. It was her reaction was so priceless, and she found them to be the most adorable creatures on the planet.
They are adorable. If you get one that's off the deep end, they can be a little frightening, especially if they appear to be rabid. But otherwise, I do think they're adorable.
You guys have seen black squirrels, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I love them. And if you go to like the Princeton area, they're in abundance out there.
They're always the craziest, though. They're always the one like doing the tarantella and all that stuff.
You know where I've seen them? At Aronimink Golf Course.
Yeah.
They have black squirrels. And they have these little pockets where you'll see them, and it's like, and you're so not used to seeing them that it's like, whoa, was that a squirrel?
Yeah.
They're pretty awesome. I agree.
Squirrel.
But Charles likes the red squirrels on his property.
I like the red squirrels.
Feeds them
They're
nuts.
Fun to play with.
Zoe Kravitz dropped by Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen Tuesday, managing to clear up rumors about her makeout session with singer Lily Allen and throw some epic shade at the same time.
She was able to do all that and still throw epic shade.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The British singer wrote in her 2018 book, My Thoughts Exactly, that the pair smooched in 2014. But when a caller asked the 29-year-old Fantastic Beasts star about it, she nonchalantly replied, who's Lily Allen?
She did.
Kravitz continued, if by kissing she means attacking, then yes, she kissed me. She attacked me. It was portrayed in the book like I wanted it, she said.
So is Lily Allen, is she bi?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
In the book, Allen wrote that they shared a kiss after a night of partying. Cohen asked her, if Kravitz read the book, she issued yet another blistering retort saying, I don't think anybody read the book.
Damn.
Ooh.
Oh,
no. Step back.
So Fantastic Beasts Crimes at Grindelwald opens in theaters tomorrow, by the way. So it's going to be
Any Kravitz events?
No, but I'm excited to see it. I haven't checked Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that, but it really starts getting back into Harry Potter world, where Fantastic Beasts, the first one, was pretty much a standalone story. This one's got Dumbledore and all sorts of characters that you know if you were a Harry Potter fan.
Channing Tatum confirmed reports that he and singer Jessie J are an item by posting a shot of her performing at a concert in London. He wrote, "This woman just poured her heart out on stage at the Royal Albert Hall. Whoever was there got to witness something special. Wow. But hang on, there's a plot twist. The pouring the heart out thing may have been in reference to her revelation that she can't have children."
Oh, man.
"At the London show, the 30-year-old told concertgoers, 'I was told 4 years ago that I can't ever have children.' Ahead of performing her song, Four Letter Words, she said, 'I wanted to write a song for myself and my moment of pain and sadness, but also to give myself joy, to give other people something that they can listen to in the moment when it gets really hard.' So if you've ever experienced anything with this or have seen somebody else go through it or have lost a child, then please know that you're not alone in your pain, and I'm thinking of you when I sing this song." Tatum, by the way, split from his wife Jenna in April. They were together for nearly a decade and share a 5-year-old daughter named Everly. Duana's also moved on. She is now dating Tony winner Steve Kazee.
I'm fairly certain I like Jessie J. I just can't think of any songs.
I like her. Yeah.
I can hear her voice in my head, I think.
She did Bang Bang with her and...
Bang Bang. Da, 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 da.
Yeah,
that's it.
She's okay. One. There's three. There's Nicki Minaj and her. And why do I know all this? And
you have a daughter.
And Ariana Grande.
Yes.
Are on that song. And she had a song called Domino a few years back.
All right. So here's what I'm hearing in my head. Da, na, 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 na. Right? Da, na, na, na,
na. I don't know.
It's like, darling, hold my hand.
Is that a different song?
No, darling, hold my hand. That's not Jessie J.
That's not Jessie J. Who is that?
That is a lady whose name I will think of in a minute.
Is that? Okay.
That's, yes. So you know what I'm talking about.
Hi.
All right, so you know
darling,
what I'm talking about.
Darling, hold my hand. That's it.
Okay. I have other stories. Steve, this is for you. Rob Kardashian has filed court documents in a bid to pay less child support to Blac Chyna. We covered that.
Yes.
But it seems his financial picture has become so clouded, he's had to sell his Arthur George sock line.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
To his mom, Kris Jenner.
That's his world socks.
He wrote in documents that were obtained by the Blast, "When the business was struggling, my mother infused it with capital to keep it afloat, and from her infusion gained a 50% share in the company."
So here's what they did. They found this. So everybody has their things. And for Rob Kardashian, an obvious business genius, they gave him the sock thing. So he used to go around. There'd be like the sock line would premiere at Macy's or whatever, and he'd be there. He was down about 150 pounds. And so I guess that's just kind of been lingering in the back.
Listen, they try to infuse him into this whole thing for a long time. They're trying to figure out. I told you, I've only seen like 1.5 episodes of the entire run of that show. And one of them, they were like, "Oh, you're going to be a chainsaw wood carver.
Yeah,
that's going to be
your
thing.
Hobby."
You know, they're just like trying to figure out what to do with them.
As we said before, in a house of talentless.
Yes.
Personality-less people. He's the worst.
Well, he's the worst, but he also has, like, nothing to offer because he's not sexy either.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, all of these girls have, like, no talent.
Do we have that
clip? But they are sexy.
From Rob in China?
Yeah, let me look for
it. It's so horrible.
By the way, Jess Glynn sang Hold My Hand, Casey.
That was so a song in your Jess. Head.
That's another Jess.
Okay.
Yeah, how does that go again, Preston?
Jess, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I like that. Right. What is her name again? Rob and what?
China.
Rob and China. There it is.
C-H-Y.
All right, which one do we want? Them talking about Baby Dream arrives, big happy family, buy a home.
Getting some booty.
Playing for booty.
Playing for booty.
There it is. Oh, yes.
Why are you getting shy?
I'm not.
Did you say why y'all get
why
shy?
Why you get shy?
Why you get shy?
Why you get shy?
Okay.
Why you get shy?
Don't let hold my hand. Do it again.
Oh, okay.
Why you get shy?
I'm not. I'm shy. So I'm gonna stay over and get some booty.
I said, "Oh, I guess I'll do it." Like you can't even work up enough energy to talk.
Bring in the music.
I'm too tired to put my lips together.
My jaw weighs a lot.
I got a fat jaw.
I just have hair.
Here, Casey has one of those lip spreaders.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Close up on Casey with the camera, please.
Say, I want some booty.
Yeah.
I want some booty.
Right? I all got so that way.
Yeah.
Look over here, Casey, at that camera.
Yeah, I want some booty.
You are still more eloquent than he is.
Yes, you are.
How do these idiots make money?
Oh, my God.
Well,
he knows.
That's the great question of
it's
all time.
Still, it remains to be seen.
Well, I mean, where does the universe end?
The other ones have, like, right? The other ones have products. Defend the double murderer. Like, their other ones have products, though. You know, like, as much as I loathe and despise the Kardashians and the Jenners, at least they're selling some stuff.
His product was supposed to be the socks.
Right. So
that was the arrangement.
So now he has all the, Preston, yesterday we were talking about child support and whatever. Where does his income
from the family? I'm sure he's part of some sort of trust or something.
Yeah, of course.
And his chainsaw art.
His chainsaw art was so dramatic. He does chainsaw renderings of socks.
Clearly, I've dismissed you.
All right, so Kylie, if you recall.
What's that wooden sock on your front lawn? That's a Kardashian.
Yeah. Kylie, if you recall, is a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
So there is. I mean, it's not like he doesn't make any money. If she's making $1 billion, he's got to be somewhere in the, you know.
He's a billionaire. Tell him to stay over and get some booty.
And then the bass drops right after that notice.
Get some booty.
Rock and...
All right.
Oh, my God.
All right, I got to move on. I have some other stuff here.
Move on.
And we don't have much time. All right, so I love this. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes.
Negan. Negan from Walking Dead and the comedian from Watchmen, of course. Slammed Armie Hammer's response to celebrity reactions to the death of Stan Lee. Listen to this. So Hammer criticized stars who chose to post selfies with the late Marvel Comics guru after he died Monday at 95. And so... Jeffrey Dean Morgan responded to this. He said, looks like you found a way to use others' ways of mourning and their memories to draw some attention to yourself. And then he wrote, you sound like a real asshat.
No!
All right. Boom! Roasted!
And that's it.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple right then and there. Let me see. How about this, Steve? Actress Katherine McGregor, she played the villain Harriet Olsen on Little House on the Prairie. She passed away. She wasn't, who is it? The daughter Olsen.
Was it Gilbert?
No. The Olsens were the snooty.
The persnickety one.
What was her name?
I forget.
Nellie Olsen.
Nellie
was the daughter, so Harriet Olsen was the mom. And she passed away. She was 93 years old. In her later years, she lived in the Motion Picture Fund long-term nursing care facility in Woodland Hills, California, where she passed away.
She did a ton of character work.
Yeah. And our former co-stars paid tribute on social media. Melissa Gilbert wrote that she taught me so much about acting, about vintage jewelry, and about life.
Armie Hammer posting that to post about people's posting selfies with her, Preston, from the House on the Prairie.
He won't let it go, man.
I did hate her, though.
Yes,
she was effective.
The Olsons were horrible.
Yeah, I hated that
Nellie
whole family.
I wanted to choke her. But you know what? It later on in the show, she went away, and then she came back, and Laura actually became friends, and she had changed her ways.
They got the last laugh because when they blew up the town, they forgot to tell her to leave.
Oh, really? All right, one last story. I can't believe it, but MTV Spring Break is returning March 19th through the 21st.
It was a moment. An MTV Spring Break moment.
Oh, was that? That was one of the little clips they played. Yeah, that's right.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
With these current sensibilities and in this day and age, how are you going to get away with Spring Break the way we remember Spring Break?
I bet you it'll be just the same.
You think so?
Yeah, with all the dancing bikini-clad women and guys in banana hammocks.
Suggestive contests and all that?
Yep. It will be at the Grand Oasis Hotel in Cancun with musical performances and celebrity guests.
I stayed at that one.
That hotel has like a quarter of a mile long pool.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's where I stayed.
For the first time, MTV will also host alternative spring break events for young activists. MTV also recently announced the purchase of Snow Globe Music Festival, extending its push into live events. So
they're having young activists spring break?
I guess that's an alternative spring break event for young activists. Yes. So
they're trying to head back to their heyday and relive the glory of the, you know, the late 80s, early 90s and doing that stuff again.
I used to watch MTV all the time.
Yep.
And Preston, I can say I have not been on MTV.
I don't even know where it is.
Couldn't even tell you what number it is.
Yep. The last award show. Whatever the last award show I was compelled to watch because of this show, that was it.
Yep. All right, we got to get to the clips.
Okay.
Man, it's already 10 after. We got to roll. All right, mystery clips?
No, I have them.
Okay.
Unless you want
to
play.
No, we got to get to it.
Okay.
We got to hurry.
Sorry,
come
mister.
On, man.
There we go.
All right, so I Feel Bad explores the funny aspects of everyday life, from taking care of your kids to talking to coworkers. And here, actor James Buckley talks about Sarayu Rao's relationship with her coworkers.
James Buckley?
The main lead.
James Buckley talks about Sarayu Rao's, R-A-O's, relationship with her coworkers.
I don't have those. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Just play it.
All right, here
play
we go. This one.
Well, I knew that it was, like, in the world.
Well, this is James Buckley.
No.
But the sides were fake, so there was a lot of things that I kind of had to put together to figure it out, which I did very quickly because I'm a stalker.
Shut the fuck up!
That's not the clip at all.
No. I think it is because, in a way, the things that she would have to put together as a person to observe this other person and the way she interacts with the people that she's
well,
with.
This is a completely different show.
Right.
The only reason I played this one is because the other one is definitely the right one.
Okay.
This one was Kaylee Bryant talking about legacies, whatever the hell that is.
No, there you go. All right, next clip.
This one's right.
This, all the news you need.
Marissa's gone 20 minutes. Look what happened.
Yeah.
All right. So Station 19 star Jaina Lee Ortiz agreed to be on the show without knowing everything about it, only that Shonda Rhimes wanted her for a spinoff. And here, Jaina describes the moment that she got the call. Here we go.
My husband, who's a writer for The Gifted on Fox, he's all up on Deadline and Variety. He knows everything that's going on. And he freaked out because I had them on speaker, and he knew how big of a deal that was, and so I started freaking out. I mean, as soon as they said, "Oh, Shonda Rhimes wants you," I didn't even let them finish the sentence. Just yes, where do you want me? When?
I don't give a f-.
New episode of Station 19 is tonight 9 on ABC.
God, man, that's a great show.
There you go.
I think that I don't really know what it is.
I saw a clip. A teaser for a show that was having their final episode that I've never heard of.
The series finale?
Series finale. And, you know, five seasons, whatever it was. First time I've
You've
ever heard
You've been with us through it all.
Exactly. And I couldn't even tell you what it was. All right. That's the Entertainment Roundup. We got to take a break. Come back in a second. Great American Smokeout is happening today. We got to talk to Dr. Rosenberg, who is going to be hosting that and hypnotizing people, giving up smokes for good. Today on the show. And we'll have actor Danny Roebuck here in our studio. Tell you more about him. Gottschall's turkey bacon is here. Lots of stuff to give away. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2019. 12 magnificent months featuring the most gorgeous girls and our loveliest listeners. Official release party is this Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Be first with a free copy of the calendar, hang with the morning show, and meet the girls of Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2019. Details at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
11 days till the Camp Out for Hunger.
Wow.
1 day till the calendar release party. Remember that thing?
Yeah,
Remember that Friday night?
That's tomorrow night.
Well, and tomorrow in studio is going to be a crazy day, too, because they all come here. We reveal who's in it and the cover and all that.
The most legendary webcam of all year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is tomorrow night. Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, you are cordially invited to join us. We'll get the signing stuff started as close to 7 o'clock as we can. Things always kind of, you know, change as we get prepped for that. But the calendars are free, one per person. Please come out to Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, 7 till 10 p.m. We'd love to meet you. You can meet all of the ladies, get the The autograph, the signatures. If you just want to get the calendar and take off, that's cool,
that's
too.
It. No problem.
But whatever, we want you to stop by. And this is it's one of the things that we put together for you to say thanks. So and then the Camp Out for Hunger, 11 days. We're going to be there.
That little thing.
That little thing. And keep in mind, if you come out, we're going to have our privileged section, which this year is going to be sponsored by Ashley Home Stores. You could end up being chosen randomly out of the we pick somebody. So well, if you have a visual thing,
yes,
make sure that you whatever that may be, you know, a sign, a costume, whatever, that you got to stand out to us, and we might pick you to sit in the privilege section and get some prizes and a massage and all that stuff. And it's just a thing we do.
It is. Look, yeah. We spent a couple hours yesterday with just one segment of the Camp Out for Hunger. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on.
And keep in mind, on Monday, the Flyers have graciously allowed us to take over their ice for an hour for an open skate.
This blew my mind because, you know, we're talking to Nick and, you know, you ask and, you know, the answer is no if you don't ask.
We've wanted to do it for a while, but we've always, they're very protective and understandably so of the ice. And that's where they make their money. It's an important thing. It's like the grass at Citizens Bank and Field. And so when they said yes this year, I was really
come again?
Grateful, right? Yeah.
What was that?
But you do have to bring your own skates, and you do have to make a donation.
Yeah, so that's going to be on Monday. And if you come down and you're one of the first 100 people to get the wristbands that we're going to hand out, if you have your own skates, we'll allow you to go over and skate. And I want to thank, I got an offer from these guys. It was, who's this that got in touch with me? They were from... Well, it says Vale. I guess that's maybe their first name. Never met somebody named Vale before.
We are Vale.
They run an ice rink in Wilmington called the Skating Club of Wilmington. And if we want ice skates, I know you have your own.
Really?
They'll bring by skates for us, which is cool. So what?
I won't do it. I mean, I know this is an amazing opportunity, but my feet just can't handle it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have my own skates. I try to do anything and everything to make it more comfortable. I can't. I can maybe get one lap around the ice before.
Yeah, you've had a history of foot problems.
You want to sit on a sled and I'll pull you around?
Do that. Dude, I would do that in a heartbeat because I can't skate.
Listen, I've been pulled by a Zamboni on the
probably be underwater.
But we do have to get her skates for Marissa so she can reenact her winter classic.
Oh my God,
face
that's
plant.
Right.
Explain what happened because it's one of our classic pieces of video.
During the winter classic, when it used to be the real winter classic thing, when they were playing the Rangers here at the Link.
The ballpark.
I was at the ballpark. I'm sorry. So it was the day before. I think they had an open skate, and or for some people. And Marissa, while she was skating, there was a TV crew doing a live shot, and Marissa trips and falls, and there's a frozen screen cap of her completely hovered in air all the way vertical. She smacked on the ice. And it's one of Casey's favorite pictures to post, and every year he posts "Never Forget."
At least once a year, just a reminder, because it always shows up in my memories somewhere, and I'm like, okay, I got to repost this. Never forget.
And Monday night, we haven't even announced this yet. We are indeed going to do comedy night, and it will be at Xfinity Live. It'll be in the Victory Beer Hall. We've done it the last couple of years there, and it will be featuring our dear good friend Dave Attell.
That is so awesome.
Dave
was adamant about doing this.
It will be hosted by Rich Voss.
Yes.
And we have other names that are coming. We can't release them just yet, but we do have somebody who's going to be wrapping up the show, which is pretty damn cool.
Who's another freaking funny guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, comedy night. All you need to do is donate food. Come down. Case, what time are we going to do that show?
So please get there before, get there around 8 o'clock because the show is going to start promptly at 8:30 at the latest.
It's not this Monday, by the way, just for people who are...
Monday of the camp.
The 26th.
Monday, November 26th, inside the Victory Beer Hall, which is inside Xfinity Live. Again, all you have to do is just bring a food donation.
Yep.
All right? And you're going to see one of the best comedians working today.
You got to be at least 21 years of age. Yep. And before that, come and hang out in the tent because all the calendar girls are going to be there, too. All right? So we got a lot going on. Monday was a big day.
And then Friday, Preston, I think this time around this year, they're finally just going to bury us in the parking lot.
Yeah, maybe they should.
Jesus.
So listen, Marissa has posted information about all the things going on with Camp Out for Hunger. And of course, our wedding is ramping up. We're going to, we're probably going to have 125 couples getting married at the Camp Out for Hunger in one shot. And Marissa told me this morning that a lot of people are doing this because they can't afford a real big wedding.
Yeah.
And so it's... That makes it even that much more special, I think.
That's, yeah. And, that whole aspect, which I had not considered, is making this now extra wonderful.
So rather than being at a Justice of the Peace by themselves and getting it done, they're going to be with a big group of people. They're going to get pictures. They're going to get cake. And thank you to...
Confetti cannon.
Thank you to Kriebel's Bakery for... They're going to be doing our cake.
Oh, wow.
Which we're going to do cupcakes, which is really cool. And, yeah, we've got a lot of things that we're still working on. And... Can we mention the Steven Singer thing yet, or are we holding off on that?
I don't have all the details, but...
There will be...
It's done deal.
There will be a prize involved. And how about the trip?
Yeah!
Can we mention that?
We don't have all... It's pretty much a done deal.
Done deal.
Pretty much a done deal.
You guys are going to get some great stuff.
Probably not Florida.
There was an upgrade that's really good.
Might be in a tropical location, so... There you go.
We hope to have that confirmed literally today. So maybe even by the end of the show.
The Ramada in the Painted Desert.
We're very excited. Here's what we can say. We will have a honeymoon to give away. That is a done deal.
Yes, and listen, again, this all came to us last minute. Yep. That's why we've been juggling a whole bunch of stuff.
We were offered Ocean City, Maryland.
Oh my God.
So. Wow.
But now.
But well, now, this time of year.
That's lovely this time.
You'd have to take it in a 3-week.
Yeah.
3 weeks in February.
Nick, should we say that we are looking for...
Not yet. No, okay, hold off on that. Okay. I know what you're saying.
We're still working on stuff. We're still working on
stuff. Do you see how much of this is already completed?
Yeah. It's pretty much a done deal.
It's pretty much a done
deal.
It's
going to be a beautiful wedding.
And we're 11 days away.
Okay.
All right. We mentioned this earlier this morning, and we've got to talk a little bit more about it. NBC 10 has released a news story. There will be a full-on press release or press conference later on today at 2 o'clock, but here is what sources are saying to NBC 10, the New Jersey couple who became famous for raising money for a homeless man after he helped with their disabled car, as well as the homeless man himself, are facing charges for allegedly providing a false story in order to raise money for themselves. This blew me away. Case, you said?
My wife told me this months ago.
That she believed that this story didn't add up?
She thought, because... You know, and I thought when the boyfriend entered his name into the picture, because this all started with just her, Kate, and the homeless man, Bobbitt.
Johnny,
On the side of the road.
It was a feel-good story. And then, you know, we had had them out at the Camp Out for Hunger. And when the boyfriend entered the picture, in my mind, I'm like, why the F are you here? You know, you have nothing to do with this. Why are you inserting yourself into this whole process?
Well, it seemed as though he was doing all of the organized. Like, I'm talking about the legit, what was supposed to be legit. He seemed like he was organizing everything.
But
she was kind of like.
He made it to me. I felt like you are. You don't belong here.
That you're tangential to it. Mm-hmm. But minimally. I got you. I think ultimately here, and again, we don't know what's going to be in this release, but from what Kathy's checking her sources, there seems to be a fair amount of weight and credibility to what we're hearing from this story.
And then, so what my wife said to me a few months ago was, I think that all three of them are in on this together. And I was like, whoa. I'm like, that would make for a great Dateline.
Yeah, so I don't think they would have posted this if there wasn't some truth to it. Maybe, however it was, information got leaked to them. I don't think it would be out there. They wouldn't be putting this out there if there wasn't some truth to it. The press conference at 2 o'clock, we'll see what, you know, exactly what they say. But I think we, you know, like Casey said, we kind of all had like our own stories, our own feelings about it. But and when they came out to the camp out, and I told you guys this months ago when this whole story broke, but I was talking to the boyfriend as well. And I had asked him a question and he gave me an answer. And then I turned and I asked her a question, the same question, and got a different answer from her. And just in the back of my head, I was like, that was weird. Like, maybe
you remember the question?
Well, yeah. Okay. So actually,
which one of you planned this scam?
I was like, hey, are you guys scamming the whole country or like, you know, what is this? No. So I had said, I talked to her first and I had said to her, does Johnny Bobbitt, I said, does he have a drug problem? And she said, no, not that we know of. And I thought to myself, there's no way that's not true. And so I turned to him and I said, does he have a drug problem? He said, oh yeah. We're working on it. We're going to get him help. So I got two completely different answers about that. And I was, you know, kind of just whatever. It just was weird. And that was that. That was the end of it.
Listen, I booked them last year to come to camp out. I personally feel betrayed by this. You know, if this is the case, and I didn't, I'm not one of, I don't know. I feel like I was directly lied to. And well, if you've made a donation to this, you know, where they raised nearly $500,000, I think you would feel the same way.
Well, yeah. So, Nick, this story was already had already broken and was in, had hit national level by the time that we had them on. Now, here's the deal. You know me, Preston, and you, it's all the time. A story comes up, and I say, oh, I bet you they orchestrated this, or so on and so forth.
Yep.
This one just had all the trappings of a feel-good, organic story.
I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Absolutely.
If it is indeed the case, and I never even second-guessed.
And it came at the right time. Around the holidays, it synergized with the camp out in a way and the spirit of giving. So, yes, everyone wanted to hear this story. But you remember, they were on all the shows.
Ellen.
Again, we don't know conclusively what's coming out later on. Mm. But this is what the strong indicators are. And honestly, I pride myself on catching 99% of these. This is the one that I did not see coming at all.
I don't think any of us really did. My mom has been a drug and alcohol nurse my entire life. And she said to me, there's no drug addict that is going to give their last $20 to somebody who's stranded on the side of the road.
Right.
And that was it. And it was just a throwaway comment. And we kind of laughed. Okay, good point. And that was it. And now she just texted me. She's like, I told you.
Somebody texted and said, Nick, we know you're in on it. and it added this part. You have the cranium of an evil mastermind. All right.
But would I go on air
and admit it? Or would I throw you off the scent?
Well, let us not forget that GoFundMe actually stepped up and did a pretty cool thing. Now, but here's the deal.
Well,
does that place that? Now just
I don't think so.
No, well, if this is the case that everyone was in on it, then it was just a scam and GoFundMe then is
they
not.
They don't have to do
anything. But what do they do to the people when you donate? All right, so this brings up a number of questions.
I'm
sorry for
back?
The flood of questions. This is why we always say if people send us GoFundMe things, we sort of vet them to the best of our abilities. But we always say, and even on Twitter, if I retweet somebody's GoFundMe request, do it at your own discretion.
Because
I know. In this case, what you were starting with, Kathy, the step-off point here, people have an encounter away from anybody else, and we're taking it on good faith by their word that this is what happened. And so, and there's no reason not to. It wasn't outlandish. It wasn't like she was being attacked by a unicorn and he killed it with a shovel. everything seemed viable. Okay? Yeah. So that's why you do have to approach these GoFundMe requests many times with a cautious eye.
The total amount raised would have been $360,000 after the GoFundMe fees.
Some people are asking, why would he turn around and try to sue them or you know, point the finger at them when he was in on it as well? Well, it's a chess match at that point. You know, I'm going to turn this in, and there's no way that they're going to admit that we were all in on this criminal act, you know, but then again.
Yeah.
Well.
Apparently, I heard they may have turned themselves in.
Here's what could have happened. So they make the initial thing. We don't know, and this is all speculation, but it's what every one of you is doing right now as you hear this story, so know it. and they may have gotten greedy with the money and did not parse it out as per an original agreement, and so he doesn't know what to do. So he's like, you know, go talk to. Well, I don't know.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think this got way bigger. If this is indeed a scam, it got way bigger than they had ever intended it to. And from the beginning, it was like, well, maybe we can make a couple grand if we do this.
Yeah.
And then it turns into big national
story. $500,000.
Like, and I don't then know.
Hold on, let me just give you
scammers getting greedy.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay, right. So the source that this came from also said that is exactly what happened, that the couple got greedy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you guys believe it? You ever read or see the movie, read the book or see the movie, A Simple Plan?
Yes. Nick, that's the first thing that came to mind.
So basically they win the lottery and they end up with all of this money, and then greed and backstabbing starts to set in. And it's what can go wrong when a lot of money immediately enters the picture. And I was thinking about that. You know, when it gets out of control, when it gets to be hundreds of thousands of dollars, you could see that this would, and you know, obviously I'm in on it.
Yeah, a texture says, hey, Nick, just give you status update. Your new 2019 Mercedes SUV will be in on Saturday. Please bring the cash to pick it up.
I hope it's in black, because that's what I asked.
I think also there was a, the boyfriend, I think maybe did he have like a gambling issue or something like that?
That was something that came out. Listen, I liked her. I liked Johnny. You know,
Johnny.
spaghetti.
So, I did, Kathy, going to your earlier observation, sense a dynamic that I thought was weird.
Well, as far as the gambling, so there were pictures of him that were released sitting at a table with a bunch of chips in front, like, you know, like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of chips. But apparently this was some sort of tournament and those chips were not actual cash or you know, relate to money.
I need to reset because a lot of confused people are just tuning in and don't know what we're talking about. So remember the couple, the girl that ran out of gas and the homeless man gave her some money to get some gas. So the latest is, hang on, Nick, where's the story? I just want to, oh, here it is. Yeah, so the latest is she and her boyfriend and the homeless guy, so Johnny, it's Mark D'Amico, Katie McClure, and Johnny Bobbitt are, the word is, there's going to be a press release or a press conference later today that they are all three going to face charges. Conspiracy, theft by deception, meaning that they made up the story, they made this whole thing, you know, happen, and it got away from them, and so.
And this is as per an NBC 10 website posting and source.
Man. So it's like, man, they just didn't, if you're going to deceive somebody, and if this is the case, it's like, you can't go into it and go, okay, all right, let's all sign a contract, guys, so that whatever
we just want to have this on paper.
Right, whatever.
So when people, you know, when we need to bring our, if we ever get into a legal wrangling over our scam, that we have legal recourse.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, there was never, like, a definitive, okay, here's what's going to happen. Whatever we make, whether it be $10,000 or $100,000, we'll each get 33%, and then we'll all be happy with that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know, like you know, when this is a nefarious operation, you can really come to. What do they say? There's no honor among thieves?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they might have been hiding total amounts and trying to get more for themselves. I don't know.
You remember what happened first. So they go into court, and then there was supposed to be the accounting of how much was spent, and they were given a finite amount of time to go back to the court and say how much was remaining, and they said there was still some remaining, and that proved to be untrue. And so this started to go in dribs and drabs. But all that time, I'm thinking, oh, my God, they put one over on John here, the homeless guy, but never once was that, you know, a three-person scam. Was that ever anything that entered my mind?
You talked about jail time. At first I was like, nah, no way. Like, there'll be something else, but I don't know now. Mm. If this is the case that maybe all three of them were involved in it.
Theft by deception?
Well,
that sounds like a jailable offense to me.
From a mass amount of people.
Grand larceny, maybe?
And what do you do? And if anyone knows about the workings or anybody with any sort of law perception, we're all pre-med, so we're not able to see about this. about that, does GoFundMe, I assume they would keep records of donations made. Is there any way for people to recoup?
I don't know.
Money?
Not if the money's not there.
I know.
I wonder who donated the most.
Yeah, because you know, some people were, I'm sure, were moved to very grandiose. Yeah.
Donate thousands.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. I remember there is just people who scam the balls on them. I don't understand how you can live with yourself, but or deal with the stress of having to cover your bases all the time when you're trying to pull a scam. But I remember a friend of mine told me about this. I didn't know this person directly, but they knew someone who pulled a scam on an organization, got caught, admitted guilt. Okay, so they're going to go to jail.
Yeah,
and had the balls to email all their friends and ask them for handouts to help with their legal defense.
Oh, stop it! Really?
You just ripped off this place and you want me to give you money?
You're asking for help above that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
I'll be right over with the help.
My check's on the way.
Yeah. I'm taping it to a shovel.
I saw a GoFundMe page set up and it was a legit reason, but the person who would have been receiving the money was a recovering drug addict, and there was not one donation.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably as good a time as any to announce that we've set up a GoFundMe page because we were scammed.
And we're sad.
And we're sad.
You can set one up that just says, I'm setting up a GoFundMe just because I want some free money. If you want to, I would imagine, right?
I appreciate that honesty.
You know what I mean?
There's somebody that I'm friends with.
Might actually get some.
That I'm friends with on Facebook, and she has, I would say, maybe 10 different GoFundMe accounts set up. Like, every time she has to do, she's like, hey, my dad's sick. I want to come home. Anybody who can help with my plane ticket? Hey, just lost my job. I'm waitressing, but can't afford my rent. If anybody can chip in. Like, every time she needs money, she puts up a GoFundMe page. You know, I don't know. I've never donated.
Is she okay? Never mind.
Is she hot? Is what you're
asking. Yeah, I know.
Well, she's
doesn't hurt.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's
Preston, perfect. I mean, listen, when times get lean for us, we slap up a few pictures of ourselves and the money starts pouring in.
Yeah.
Because we just instantly turn people on.
Kathy's trying to get
who is
you,
it?
She is a he now. And that was also part of... What do you say? Wanted money.
That is not true. You lying bitch.
For the transition and all of that, too.
Get there?
How do you do it?
How do you girls do it?
Here we go. If it makes, this is a text says, if it makes you guys feel any better, John the Virgin was in fact a real virgin.
There we go. Wouldn't it be wild if he ran a brothel?
Remember we did that?
Yeah. I don't think we ever questioned that.
No, that was, when he showed us his books of car drawings, we knew instantly that he's officially vetted.
For those who may not know, we got a virgin laid. An adult virgin.
You remember, right? He had a book of car drawings.
I brought these with me.
Listen to that.
You listened to what?
That whole segment. Did we run that in a best of not too long ago?
I don't know.
But I was editing it and listening to it. Yeah. And so I listened to it all over again. What a nice guy, but super awkward.
You want to talk to a lawyer?
Yeah.
Please.
Right, I'll go to Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah, what kind of a lawyer are you?
Mostly criminal.
Criminal lawyer, okay. Criminal defense?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So what do you think as far as what kind of charges these guys are going to face and what we already know the charges they may be facing, but what kind of a sentence might come down if they are found guilty of that?
It really depends on whether either of them has a prior record.
Okay.
So if you have a prior record, especially in Pennsylvania, which is the only state that I have a bar license in Pennsylvania, any ramifications sentence-wise would come from a combination of how serious the offense is and how serious the prior record is.
Okay.
So a person with no prior record, and again, I'm talking about Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, it could be different.
Okay.
But you would possibly qualify for a pretrial diversionary program. First offenders program is one of the ways that we refer to that in Pennsylvania, at least. So they could qualify for something like that.
So meaning what?
What's that?
Meaning what? No jail time?
Meaning no jail time unless they violate their probation. And if they, and again, all depends on whether they have clean histories and whether the prosecutor's office is willing to even entertain this possibility, they could then have the charges expunged if they pay back restitution, which sounds like they'd never be able to do, unfortunately.
It's kind of a thing where, like if it's a first-time offense, they kind of ask for leniency from the judge, right, Sarah?
Similar to that. But there are some more formal programs, apart from just throwing yourself on the mercy of the court.
Right.
The other part of this is that they are exposed to a lot of civil liability.
Okay.
Where that could be that could probably come into federal court with a class action.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. A class action from all the, and exactly. How would you discern the participants in that class action suit? And I assume that would revolve around, or at least end up at GoFundMe's door, because they would have the records of the donations made, correct?
Correct. They'd be looking for those records from GoFundMe.
All right.
So will they all face equal charges, or because clearly, well, at least in my opinion, there had to be a mastermind, right? Somebody behind
this.
Well,
Nick.
Yeah.
Say it on air, man.
Yeah. But there had to be a mastermind and then two accomplices, because there's no way that all three of these people came up with it on their own.
I'd be interested to see if they knew each other prior, how they met. Yep. Was he actually homeless?
Mm-hmm.
Find out those details.
You know, with our luck, they all met at the Cardboard Classic.
Yes.
Seriously.
All right. Sarah, thanks for the details. We appreciate it.
Definitely. You guys rock.
Thank you.
See you later.
It really seems like law enforcement has taken their time with this case and has built, I mean, because, you know, the impounding of his car happened, what, 2 or 3 months ago?
Yeah.
And I think that at this point, and again, this is just speculation because we don't know, but that they've built a case against these three, and the S is about to hit the fan.
Well, today at 2 o'clock is when that comes out. The information will be coming out. But I agree with you, Kathy. I find that local news actually takes a lot more time to vet these things and find out, you know, what's up and what's correct and what's not.
So I tend to believe this is probably what we're going to hear later on.
I texted Keith Jones over at NBC 10 because he was talking about the story earlier today. So
you want to come clean?
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you text her? See if she responds.
Okay. I mean, with I texted yeah. Kate 2 months ago.
Are you guys dating now?
We're not dating, no.
Just lay low.
This isn't on air, right? that was your text?
Yeah. Just lay low.
Just lay low.
Don't say anything. I got 2 tickets to Aruba.
No extradition.
One word, Philly, Philly.
Yeah, by the way, Nick is going to take the honeymoon trip that we have to get away for the wedding. And he's getting out of Dodge.
I hear extradition from Brazil is pretty hard this time of year. But it's harder for 2 people.
You know, we talk about the scams. We talk about these things. And you're right. The miserable, horrible people that take advantage of the goodwill and good nature of people. But I'm always amazed also at what people will fall for, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, I hope it's not true. I hope this story is not true. But, it's looking more than likely that it probably is. But,
If it is true, do you think what will come first, the Dateline story or the movie?
You're pushing for Dateline, I can tell.
I love that.
Well, you want Keith Morrison.
Well, usually Dateline is
they
more
all
like...
went to the camp out for hunger, and everyone seemed to enjoy their company. But there was something that bothered Kathy Romano, a suspicious young lass who was known to distrust anyone she met. She turned to the one guy and asked him a question, and the girl's answer didn't match up. That's when she knew the jig was up.
If they did do Dateline, they would totally grab footage of the Camp Out for Hunger.
They would not only that, they would give us our own sitcoms.
Yeah. Ooh, all right. So they might actually, Nick might be featured on Dateline.
Well, it's part of the deal.
Part of the, yes.
But in the background, a shady presence with a huge head. Virtually incapable of wearing any fitting baseball cap.
I almost got away with it.
All right. Well, anyhow, we'll find out a little bit later on in the day some of the details. The press conference at 2 o'clock. Wow,
pretty somebody messy. Saying so. Is there an opening on the show?
Yeah, tune in at 2.
Okay. I would like to give away a 6-pack of coupons, good for 6 full size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon at your local grocery store. They are stopping by.
Yeah,
stopping by this morning, and they are providing food for our guests. And us. So we'll take caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR, and all of today's menu items are prepared and provided by the chefs who are participating in the Godshall's Food Truck Challenge. And this is going to be also a holiday fair December 15th at Head House Square.
Yeah.
A great spot to have this. Recipes and details at Godshalls.com. So it's December 15th, Head House Square. Big Godshall's Food Truck Challenge and Holiday Fair taking place. We're going to be back in just a moment. Got some bizarre file stories up next. Stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Nick McElwain Thursday from 7 to 9 as the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over Ryan's Pub, 124 West Gay Street in Westchester. Catch the game and win Eagles tickets, an autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light, and Bud Light Philly special t-shirts. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood. MMR and the Franklin Institute have teamed up to send you to Rock Like a Viking. Go to WMMR.com for the chance to win a trip to the Roskilde Festival in Denmark. Want a true-to-life Viking experience? Go to the Franklin Institute's Vikings Beyond the Legend exhibit. Tickets and info at fi.edu.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Godshall's turkey bacon is here. I just had a turkey blue cheese ball.
What you saying?
With smoky bacon, and it was fantastic. And that was from a food truck called Mama's Balls Food Truck.
Yeah.
Which I love that name. And there are a lot of trucks that are going to be participating in the Godshall's Food Truck Challenge. Mama's Balls is one of them. Humpty's Dumplings is another, who also has a storefront location on Passyunk Avenue. Right off of South Street, the House of Cupcakes and Philly Cakery are all on board, and they brought by food today. So you can see the details and recipes at Godshalls.com. We have a lot of people to feed here this morning. Great American Smokeout is taking place.
Yes, so it's very fortuitous.
And we have a number of people in our studio, along with the good Dr. Rosenberg, who we're going to talk to in just a moment and get some of the details. Before we do that,
Two things. Let me give away a six-pack of coupons good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon.
Hey,
take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will do the bizarre file first. So here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Patient First Physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit patientfirst.com. A Texas woman celebrated her divorce by destroying her wedding dress with an explosion felt from up to 15 miles away.
Love it.
Kimberly Steitler said her divorce was finalized Friday after 14 years of marriage, and she wanted to celebrate by destroying the dress. She said, I wanted to remove all things from our marriage, from our house. Photos in the attic, ring in the safe, and the dress I wanted to burn. She said, I had a lot of advice and suggestions from friends and family, like donating it for premature babies and baptism gowns. However, to me, the dress represented a lie. I wanted to have a divorce party to burn the dress. So she gathered with friends and family at her father's farm, about 25 miles west of San Antonio, and she used a scoped rifle to trigger an explosion with tannerite.
Tannerite?
And it's the explosive Jesus. Compound in exploding shooting targets. She said, we were all getting messages asking if that was our explosion. People were feeling and hearing around the country, the county, up to at least 15 miles away.
Damn.
We have video of it, so you can see how big the explosion was.
I don't know. It sounds like the divorce was amicable.
But it's it was her way of sending it off into the great beyond.
All right. Can we do something like that?
With Tannerite? You know we wanted to blow up our refrigerator. We went to all great lengths to do that. Yeah. It turns out, In an urban situation, blowing up things is illegal.
How far away would we have to? I guess we would have
Texas.
Her dad's farm in Texas.
No, we wouldn't have to go that crazy far. I'll bet you somebody can get in touch with us that we could go somewhere and blow some stuff up.
There's got to be a Tannerite dealership somewhere.
Somewhere, right?
On the main line.
I read that story before I went to bed, and I had a dream that I had a canister of Tannerite in bed with me.
Really?
Yeah, and if I moved too much, it was going to explode.
I love you.
I don't know why.
I love you, Tannerite.
It was in a green tube, and I don't know why.
Is it wild you go to bed, what your mind tells you?
That's weird.
I think you need to bang a can of Tannerite.
As bizarre as it sounds, young Indonesians have found another affordable way to get tipsy, and that is by boiling tampons and mini pads and maxi pads and drinking the water.
No, really?
Oh, good God.
These are used pads, by the way.
Lord. Oh, my God.
Police in Jakarta.
Who made the pink lemonade?
Police in Jakarta and Bekasi have arrested several teenagers who were caught while experimenting with unusual methods of getting intoxicated.
Dude, that wouldn't do anything, would it?
It does.
Does it?
Most used menstrual pads to make the formula. The head of the narcotics agency said that it was the chlorine in the boiled mixture that created a feeling of flying and hallucinations similar to the sensation experienced when taking certain drugs. The used pads they took from the trash were put in boiling water. After it cooled down, they drank it together.
Wow.
Yeah. An advocate for safe drinking said it was not a new phenomenon. In 2016, groups of teenagers in Belitung and Karawang did the same thing.
These are made up places, aren't they?
No, Nick. Okay. Those are real places, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't know who started it at all, they said, but I knew it started around 2 years ago. There's no law against it so far. There is no law against these kids using a mixture of mosquito repellent and cold syrup to get drunk either. So they're finding any way that they can.
So use tampons. Used feminine hygiene products. Now, Kathy, you don't use that. You use Tannerite, right?
Yeah. I want to die.
But that's how some of these, like they have these synthetic drugs that are, right, that have like the same feeling as, let's say, like an ecstasy or whatever. And obviously, ecstasy. But the formula for ecstasy is illegal. But if you change the compound ever so slightly,
you can get around it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's a mind blower.
I love this story. Technology is awesome, of course, but sometimes the perspective you get from a camera can be deceptive. Brian Fitzwater of Burlington, New Jersey, got an alert on his phone from his doorbell, which features a security camera. Now, the alert said, unfamiliar face, front door.
Right.
Your camera spotted someone it doesn't recognize.
Oh, there it is.
Well, upon checking out the video, Fitzwater discovered a praying mantis had pressed the doorbell.
Wow.
And was up close and personal with the camera. The technology
had interpreted the insect's face as human.
I am a Jehovah's Witness. I'm going to give you a copy of the Watchtower.
Had a close-up shot of the praying mantis. All right.
How you doing?
This is a very short story, but I saw a video of it, and it is hilarious. Some disguises are better than others. A group of pedestrians were caught on camera in Vladivostok, Russia, attempting to cross the Zoltoy Bridge, which is for vehicles only, but is a group of guys, and they were wearing a cardboard bus costume trying to go across
the bridge. I heard about this. Did you see
it?
You saw
hilarious.
It?
Hilarious. Okay. Yes. I mean, it's really big. It's gigantic cardboard. So the video shows police stop the group of four and make them turn around. They weren't arrested or anything like that.
Did you see the footage of the guy in the smart car that he turned into the Flintstones mobile?
Yes, he was. I had that in the bizarre file.
Yeah.
And that's in Florida that took place. So we're looking at video footage here, Steve. They'll show it in just a second here as these guys are walking. There. Wait. Nope. That's not it. There they are. There they are. It's great. It's like a group costume.
And this in Russia?
From a contest or something like that.
On Twitter, if you want a great follow, I think it's called Only in Russia.
Yeah.
And there, the amount of stuff.
Yeah.
Russia, take Florida and multiply it by 100.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. It is the Great American Smokeout. Today, dear friends, if you've been considering kicking the habit for good, today is a good day to get it going because a lot of other people are going to be doing the same thing. And a lot of them are right here in our studio. But before we say hello to any of our participants, we want to say hello to the doctor who's been stopping by for a number of years to try and get people to quit for good, Dr. Steven Rosenberg.
Yay!
Also known as Dr. Rosenpenis.
Yes.
Is here this morning. How are you doing, doctor?
Great. How are you?
We are wonderful. It is great to see you once again. What type of a doctor are you, for those who do not know?
Well, I am a behavioral therapist.
Okay.
So I change behaviors.
I love that. And over the years, any idea how many people you've helped quit smoking?
Yeah. It's getting close to 50,000 people.
50,000. So we can say, and categorically, we have seen it happen where people have come and participated in this when we've done this, and we'll get reports back from them, say, like at the camp out or something, they'll show up and they'll say, "That did it. I stopped, walked out from that session, and did not smoke again." And people are reticent to believe it, but it does happen, and you see it all the time.
Yes, I do. And in fact, nationwide or worldwide, it takes about 10 times for a person to actually stop. When they do it 10 times, they will stop. Because then they're finally ready.
Committed to it, so mentally they're committed.
It takes 10 times usually to do that.
So there's a cool thing that happened, and I guess it happened through this show, that the police reached out to you. I guess it was at the Philadelphia Police Department?
That is correct, yes. And the Law Enforcement Health Benefit actually called me and said, "Hey, look, we'd like to send some police officers your way." And so for the past 8-9 months, they've been sending police officers in, and they've been doing wonderful.
Yeah.
And anybody who is a police officer out there, if you would like to get an appointment, it's free of charge.
How about that?
For police officers. Your LEHB covers it. And all you have to do is call LEHB or me, and my phone number is 215-782-8414. Or go to my website, and that's there, too, on www.quititnow.com.
There you go.
We will post this on PrestonandSteve.com for listeners who can't remember. Caitlin, write down all that information.
And Caitlin over at LEHB is the person.
That's right. I'm waiting. No, Caitlin Jenner.
That's fantastic. So hopefully we can get a bunch of guys, and they'll be able to do it free of charge. That's
that
wonderful.
Is correct. Yes.
Excellent. There are, fewer and fewer people smoking every year. That's a great thing. There's the numbers are at an all-time low.
Yes.
And that's great. But for people who are still smokers, makes you even that much more a little bit.
You're in a dwindling club, and cigarette prices have never been higher.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're only going to go higher.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And we have, I don't know, like 15, 16 people who are here this morning that Dr. Rosenberg is going to hypnotize and give them some suggestions that will maybe equate smoking to something horrible and disgusting, and therefore you won't have the urge to do it any longer. So we had a ton of people call in. We got an email from a guy, and we're not going to talk to everybody, but I did want to talk to him real quick because his story is very interesting. So this is Mike. Do you want me to say your last name or not? Or
hey, by all means.
All right, you got. Remember when I told you get close to that microphone? Get close to that microphone.
I'm screaming now, guys.
All right, there you go, Mike. All right, so Mike States is your last name.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay, and you emailed us and you told us your family has a bad history with smoking and lung cancer.
I thought I was here for a rhino penis, honestly.
Oh, damn it. Yes, all that stuff.
I'm here for the wrong story, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we could do that.
Yeah.
He wanted a sex change.
Yeah. So we can do that.
So go ahead, Mike.
No, I mean, we all have similar scenarios, I'm sure, but my father passed away when I was 3 years old. He hit 35 years on the nose.
Yeah.
And in about a month and a half, that's where I'm hitting too, so.
He died of lung cancer?
Lung cancer, amongst other things. My grandfather, on his side, passed away when he was 56, I believe. And the whole family has histories of lung cancer and just battling issues and addiction. And
what's been the hardest thing? Have you tried quitting before?
I have. I've gotten hypnotized before.
Okay.
I was the guy just, I don't know what it is. With me specifically, I think I do it more out of depression.
Smoke out of depression?
Like my father not being around. And
okay.
Don't buy a motorcycle because it's dangerous. Don't go skydiving. I've done all those things more or less just because I'm not supposed to.
Right.
And I think a lot of us can relate to that in a sense, which they don't really tell you about from an outside perspective.
Yeah.
So now it's like wake up call, you know, time to have a family, get married, have kids, do all that.
It's hard also. My mother passed away when I was 20, 21 of lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And then for you to be smoking, it's got to, you have this sort of thing, this loop that must go around in your head. Like, oh my God, how can I be doing this when this happened? And,
correct.
And you end up beating yourself, and there's no way to extricate yourself from that.
Correct.
Well, yeah. I actually started with Dr. Rosenberg about just doing stuff to help as a, you know, for more rest and for sleep. And there's no way I will turn myself over to this, and I'll give it a shot. Because I'd heard some good things about people who are training and athletes who use it to get rest and improve their training and so on and so forth. I do it every day. I listen to it every day. And the segment, and it does help. But it sounds like you are at the point now where you are absolutely ready to commit.
I am.
Okay. Yeah, that's, and that's when it'll work the best.
Yeah,
so
when you want to quit. And so you really have the desire to give it up.
Yep.
And everybody that I mentioned this to in the green room, and everybody's, yes, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of it. I want it over with.
So it can work. It has worked countless times. You just have to go with it and listen to what the doctor tells you. And because honestly, once you free yourself from this stuff, first off, you're going to get a lot richer quickly because the money is just insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. One person actually got me in the green room and he said, I'm spending $3,650 a year, but it's $300 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a car payment.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's true. You could use that money for anything. And I said to him, well, you get a free case of cancer with it.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
As well.
That's the problem.
So we're gonna put you guys in the in our conference room. We're gonna mic it and we'll tune in and listen and hear what the doctor is doing. But how long does the session take about?
It's how long you want me to do it for.
I don't, you usually do it 15, 20 minutes or something like
that?
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. And you know what? Steve was talking about helping with sleep issues and so on. There's a whole load of stuff that you can help out with,
correct? That is correct. I mean, stress. Recovery from illness.
Stroke? Post-stroke?
Stroke?
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Propp of the Flyers worked with me on his recovery from
stroke. No kidding.
So, I mean, it's amazing what we can do.
Somebody texted in and asked this, because I think one of us might be able to use this. Could you hypnotize someone into helping them stop hitting the snooze button every morning?
Yes, we can. Absolutely.
It's an option case.
I could use that.
Yeah, he could use that. Yeah.
To be honest, so but my wife had a few things. It's we're talking about life tweaks where I would really love to make sure I do this at this point in the day, and I try to get myself to do it, blah, blah, blah. And you helped her, and now she's having great success with that. And so what I was looking for was so in the afternoon, Preston, around 3 o'clock, I listened to the audio that you recorded for me, Dr. Rosenberg, and I come out of 22 minutes of this duration, and I feel very rested and able to do a better workout, and I noticed results. It wasn't like you get hit in the face, like, oh, my God, things have dramatically changed. it started to just happen, and it was amazing things. So.
And if you do it every day, it works for you.
Yeah,
and that's true. Thank you.
What about speech impediments? Can you help with things like that?
Yeah, actually, with stuttering, it's been incredible.
A listener emailed me specifically about stuttering and wanted to know if he could come to you for that.
Yeah, in fact, there was a case I had, too, where, talk about sleeping, the guy slept too soundly and his wife could never wake him up to go to work.
Oh, well, that's bad.
And so I got him to get up on time.
Yeah, yeah.
He never heard the alarm clock.
So, as you can see, the doctor can help out with a whole bunch of stuff. And no matter what you're interested in, quitintnow.com, you can contact you through
www.quitintnow.com. And our phone number is 215-782-8414.
All right. And with that, we're going to send all you guys into our conference room. We're going to have you spend some time with the doctor. And we're going to quit this thing for good.
You can do it, right?
Absolutely. All right. So we are going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Let them do their thing. And our friend Dan Roebuck is in the green room. So we're going to get him on next in just a second. Make sure you stay with us. We'll be back momentarily.
Whether social.
Hey, welcome in.
Or antisocial.
Hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
It's been several years since we've seen our next guest. We had him out for a party, a viewing party, for a little show we were slightly obsessed with called Lost. And he was a great guest. And, man, looking at his list of credits is just a nonstop working actor. Has been in so many things.
Great stuff.
Notable stuff besides Lost would be The Fugitive and River's Edge and Devil's Rejects. And Steve was even on The Love Boat.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Which is one of your favorite shows.
Watch it on MeTV every weekend.
We want to welcome to our studio Mr. Dan Roebuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you,
blessing,
man?
Blessing to be here. Thank you. Nice. The Love Boat. See, you got to be on The Love Boat. I think I said you got to be on The Love Boat at the beginning of your career.
Yes.
Because I was on with Larry Wilcox.
Yes.
I think it's my first SAG job.
From Chips.
And his last.
Yeah.
No, I'm not making fun. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying, if The Love Boat came back now and they said, do you want to be on The Love Boat? I'd be like,
But you know, it's an interesting thing because they would have weird pairings. Like, they would have Ron Palillo, who played Horshack, with Don Ameche.
Right.
Like
Hey, can you imagine Don Ameche? By the way, Don Ameche and I have something in common now. We both played Alexander Graham Bell.
We're going to get to that.
But Don Ameche, can you imagine Ron Palillo?
John, what are you... How was it like being,
you know, Don Ameche, get this kid away from me. Uh-huh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but it was, I'm forever fascinated by that time in television because there's so much that was so bad and yet simultaneously great in its
so
badness.
Great. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Dan is here to promote a film which he directed and starred in called Getting Grace, and we will get to that in a moment. I love seeing you pop up in, like, the commercial with Alexander Graham Bell.
Well, you're freaking hilarious. The Geico commercials have been sensational to begin with, but when I was... This is the one, Preston, explain what it is.
He's at a play. He's watching a live show, and it's a playoff of people getting phone calls during a movie or a show or whatever they happen to be watching, yet it's Alexander Graham Bell. He's the only one, and it's a full-size, old-style telephone, and the phone rings, and you say...
I say, hoy, hoy!
Hoy, hoy!
Because that's how they answer the phone.
That's
because Alexander Graham Bell didn't want people... nobody thought of hello. I don't...
Yeah, yeah.
But hoy, hoy was the term that everybody used on the ship.
Like a radio transmission is what they were like. Yeah. Hoi, hoi.
And so it interrupts. The guy on stage is looking at him going, what are you doing? And then another call comes through and another
The joke is, I said, no, I'm number one.
That's right. You're looking for number two.
Like, whoever writes those spots, they're working in some crazy... like, crazy headspace. And that commercial, I kept thinking, what they didn't, they were so, like, we made this movie, they probably spent on the before 10 a.m. on the commercial what I spent on my entire feature film. Like, they didn't care. I'd say, should I go into makeup?
No.
But you got to put the whole beard on. Don't worry.
They've got it down to a science. Well, the movie you're talking about is Getting Grace.
Yeah. Oh, yes, thank you.
And which is very cool. And reading a lot about it, you're from Bethlehem, PA.
Yeah, I'm just north of here, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We went there and shot the movie in my hometown.
So it was a homecoming. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did you go back to a spot where you had carved your name in the wall, what, 40 years earlier?
Oh, yeah, well, yes, it's not that in case anyone's listening from the Bethlehem Housing Authority, that didn't happen. But let's say it did. I spent a lot of time thinking about the old days. You know, I'm in Bethlehem. And in the movie, every place that I ever had been in Bethlehem is also in the movie.
Okay. I watched it last night, and it's great. I really enjoyed it, Daniel. And you're terrific in it. You wrote and directed it and star in it as well. And then a lot of people that nobody is familiar with, a whole lot of new actors, including the woman, young woman who's sick. She plays a cancer patient, and her name is Madeline Dundon. Is that
Madeline
right?
Dundon. Now, Dundon. Maddie Dundon and I went to the same high school. Is this crazy?
It's wild.
I auditioned kids from all over the country. And ended up picking this child who is so much like my daughter, and the character in the movie, Grace, is like my daughter, Grace.
So she's a cancer patient. She's terminal. She's going to die. You are a funeral.
Yeah, she walks into a funeral home to find out what's going to happen physically after she dies, but ends up teaching the funeral director how to celebrate life.
Well, because you deal with death, but but at a certain point you become you've scabbed over about it. You've had your own personal tragedies.
That's correct.
And there are a lot of wounded people, but she has that rare gift of I know my finite situation here. And so helps you come to terms with what you're dealing with.
It's very true. It's allegorical. It's an allegory for God's grace, which is available to all of us. She's this amazing, graceful, yet confusing person, but she's building a family in the time she has left.
Right.
It's a pretty honest and brutal look at cancer, especially cancer among kids, and you don't really pull any punches with it. I mean, and you know, you're dealing with chemo and the pain and everything that goes along with it. In a surprisingly, maybe a surprisingly uplifting way.
Well, and humor becomes an element too, because there is, you know, I remember when my mother passed, we were talking about, you know, lung cancer. My mother passed away from lung cancer when I was, I was 20, you know, I was still fairly a young man. And I remember my friends came in, and my mother was always, you know, jovial. And as she was passing away, she still always retained a sly sense of humor. So, when they came into the wake, I led them up front and I said, "See, if you know someone, you get good seats." And that's the kind of joke my mother would make. So there's a certain you're given license to be, you know, dark.
Yes. When that was a question that the other writer and I, you know, struggled with. I always felt that her actually making light of her situation made it easier for those around her.
Right.
And it does. And I'll tell you something. If I set out to make a movie that had some mission beyond, all I wanted to do is make you laugh and cry. That's all I wanted to do.
Right.
But the movie ended up having this other mission where people see it and they are given, and these are the emails I get, "Your movie gave me closure. Your movie gave me hope. Your movie gave me understanding of the situation." And that's all been extraordinary. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we had the great actress Maddie Dundon, and the fact that we went initially to the Pediatric Cancer Foundation of the Lehigh Valley and got input about the story. And their favorite thing about it was that it was a comedy.
Yeah.
Because if you said, "I'm making a comedy about a girl dying of cancer," people think you're nuts. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, we just showed this movie in Maryland to 600 people who all laughed and cried and laughed and cried.
There's another young actress in it named, she plays Audrey.
Alexa McPhillan.
Oh, my goodness. And this is an unknown actress, but man, does she nail it. And she plays another person who has terminal cancer and is dealing with the ramifications of having to pick out a casket and what it would be like on the inside. But she was great.
We had a great, you know, there's been, the funeral industry has embraced this movie. It's another unique thing that came out of it. Because nobody ever, we don't. honestly, you guys, these are good people. I've spent 2 years now with these funeral directors. These are good people who are there at the worst possible time mm-hmm. in your life.
And you wonder about this. I heard this said about a police a while ago, and I steadfastly agree that your worst day is there every day. And that would hold true for funeral directors.
That's such a good point. Yes,
yeah.
That's completely true. And they're just the kindest, most gracious people. And they only get on the news when something terrible happens. But when you think that there's tens of thousands of funeral directors and you only hear about something terrible every 2 years, mm-hmm. thank God. But they've embraced this movie because it's helped. We're talking about picking out caskets, how Nick was saying. You know, the idea that you can start thinking about your death in the same terms of your life, that
yeah.
you can have it the way you want it.
Well, and it's a fact, as you say. And again, I'm glad early on in life that I got to experience death around me, because I don't fear it, you know. And, yeah. and I know that it's a natural part of progression. And people say, is it a dour down topic? Well, here's a movie that's proof that it's an inspiring thing. Once you can handle that and come to terms with it. It can free you in a way. And you're talking about getting letters of people talking about closure.
Yeah.
And it's an important skill set to develop. The people get hit the hardest, who people who never take a second to think about it. Because you've got to prepare yourself, you
yes,
know?
I agree.
Without being too down and down.
No, I agree. And look, the only difference between the character Grace and the man Dan Roebuck is that the character Grace knows she's going to die. So do I.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, in that, when the day we premiered the movie at a film festival in Teaneck, New Jersey, at the Northeast Film Festival, where it won some lovely awards, that's the day that I had an epiphany where I used to say before that, we got to live every day like it's our last. But people in this room, I'm telling you, and these guys who are going to try to stop smoking,
yeah.
I'm saying to you, you live every day like it's your first. That's what the movie's about. It's about waking up in the morning and doing better. Hmm. Forgiving, forgetting, loving, living.
Move on. That's so true. And I mean, not to get preachy or anything, but my wife just connected with a brother who walked out of the family decades ago. And now, basically, it was like, we're moving forward now, and things that I thought could have gone horribly wrong are now wonderful. They've reconnected and they're moving forward.
God
so
bless.
It's a good piece of advice. Live like it's your first day.
Getting a number of texts coming in of people who have seen the movie and saying how much they loved it, and also people who were having a cancer in their lives as well when they saw this and it helped. But to see the movie, where does one find the film? Is it an independent film?
Yes, it's an independent film. So we played around the country back in March. It is now available in Walmart. It's available on Walmart.com, Amazon, Amazon Prime, iTunes. You could go everywhere. This is what it looks like if you go into Walmart.
Okay.
Please buy it. And if you love it, please review it.
So you got a little small startup store called Walmart.
Yeah.
It's called Getting Grace. And yes, and to touch on your local roots, or your Lehigh Valley roots, I just want to read this text and see if it makes any sense to you. It says, Dan's grandmom was my grandmother's neighbor. Amazing guy, great family. Her name was Frida, had a garage full of bunnies.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your grandmother?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the guy she married at the end, his job was making Hasenpfeffer.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
Okay, well, that's why.
In a way, is a perfect pair.
She didn't love bunnies, the fuzzy they were.
You know, my grandmother, I don't know if I could, because earlier, my grandmother was Pennsylvania Dutch, and she talked like this.
Okay.
I want to tell you, one time we were at a restaurant down by Bally where she lived, and the woman is, you know, like, I get this all day because I'm a character actor. How do I know you? How do I? I said, well, I finally go, well, I'm on TV. Oh, right. So she says to my grandmother at that point, 90, is he really on TV? And my grandmother said, well, he says he is. Because she doesn't want me.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to ask this because we were just recently talking about Roadside America in Charlottesville, and the fact that it was in Charlottesville, and it's actually
my movie.
It's up for sale.
No, we have to save it.
We have to save it.
You and I have to own it, and we have to take our toys there.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. We talked about this place that has this sprawling towns and traffic moving
miniatures.
Along. Miniatures. Yeah. It's this huge thing. Mm-hmm. And how is it in person to be
in
there?
In person, it's, well, it's my favorite. One of my favorite places in the world. It's like going to Wild West City. It's a place that's exactly like it was when we were little boys, and it's exactly like it was. And when I said to my son, Buster, oh, my gosh, I can't go. We're going to shoot at Roadside America. My son said, Dad, I freaking hate Roadside America. I was like, I'm weeping. My son, Buster, turns 21. Wrong. I said, no, that's not possible. He goes, Grace freaking hates Roadside because it's our child. But you take your children to Roadside America,
yeah,
the last place in Pennsylvania that's exactly like it was in 1955.
Wow. It's so cool.
And it's still open. It's still open.
You can drive. It's right down Route 2278. Oh, they're one and the same at one point. You got to go there. They're the nicest people too. The same family. One guy built the entire thing
from scratch.
Back in the 40s.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's still there. God bless that family.
I want to talk to you about your career, and there's no way we're going to be able to touch on everything because I was looking at your IMDb credits, and it's like 237 roles in TV and film without not including stuff that's in production and, you know, and all that. Oh, yeah,
and it'll say Matlock 1, but it was Matlock 60.
A couple of people were texting who was Dan on Lost. He was Dr. Arst, who had the best death on the entire show.
By far.
Blown up by a stick of dynamite.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was really, really great.
Because as we know, dynamite sweats nitroglycerin.
Yeah. Right. You sort of saw it coming, but didn't see it coming at the same time. But you had mentioned earlier about your character in this movie, about how you're Dan, but your character is Bill. And I wanted to ask you about, like, if you're playing 237 plus roles in your life, how do you approach that? Like,
Casey, I tell you what I worry about most is what will my Alzheimer's look like? Do you remember when I had my own TV? I was the host of The Tonight Show.
But you were, in a way.
But worse, I killed a girl. I got to confess. I killed a girl by a river. I got to tell someone.
Let me ask about River's Edge, because Preston and I are huge fans of this movie. If you've never seen this incredibly powerful movie,
it holds up.
You're brilliant in it.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves and Crispin Glover.
And that was
the
early.
Dennis Hopper.
By the way, in River's Edge, here's what's mind-blowing. Dennis Hopper was younger than I am now.
When we
shot River's Edge, and I thought he was he was like Gandalf.
He came
onto the set, and now I think he was a kid.
Oh, my God, that blows my mind.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because I think you might be younger now than Wilford Brimley was when he was in Cocoon.
Right. No, you're right, because remember, it was Don Ameche and Wilford and Gwen Verdon. And Wilford Hume Brimley Cronin. Was Hume literally Cronin. 15 years younger than the rest of them. He said nobody would hang out with
him. I don't want to hang out with that kid.
Yeah.
Dan, I want to pay you a compliment about Getting Grace, too. And I was thinking about the movie Inside Out when I was watching Getting Grace last night. And one of the lessons that I learned from watching Inside Out is that these movies, emotions that we associate with negativity are not necessarily in and of themselves negative. Anger and sadness are healthy. And so when dealing with dying and I don't mean this to be dour or down topic, but it's everybody's going to die. Everybody walks that path. It's okay to embrace sadness. And in fact, it's healthy to do so. And my dad has taken on this mantra recently of, it's great to have one fantastic laugh every day. It's also good to have one cry. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with admitting that or owning it.
I think you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, the next movie I make is going to be called The Hail Mary. And it's a story of redemption. So I'm moving from this to that. And I just think what is the point of it all is we must be always evolving. Look, I'm not a trained psychologist.
No.
I'm not a trained religious person.
You host The Tonight Show.
I hosted The Tonight Show, and I killed a girl. And once I worked for the Japanese when they ruled America after World War II.
That's right. We totally forgot that.
Man in the High Castle.
But I'm sorry about the cough.
Sorry.
Your dad is right, but we shouldn't have these epiphanies when we're 70.
Yeah.
We should have them when when we're kids. I'm going to shout out my buddy Chaz Keller. He and I went to grade school together. I was raised by nuns, Sisters of St. Joseph of Philadelphia. They've made it clear, by the way, recently, if any of them are listening, that I've got to put the right SSJ of Philadelphia, okay. Chestnut Hill. And I'll bet they are listening because they're happy ladies. But when we were kids, we were just taught to celebrate life. Everybody has an idea that nuns, you know, they've gotten the bum rap,
yeah,
and they're the heart of the church, and they put up with us. Now, so anyway, they always taught us good, happy, be good, be ethical, be moral. And if you are ethical and moral, I think everything else falls into place. You will laugh at what's funny. And if you're not a sociopath, when something sad happens, you'll cry. Not just at the commercials or Coca-Cola commercials. You know, I cry a little when people tell me about the people they lost. I cry sometimes when I think that someone's not getting... People feel less than they should. I guess I'm saying when they shouldn't feel they're still experiencing life.
Yesterday, there was an event at we have the Recovery Centers of America in Devon, and this helps people who are facing opioid addiction and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I'm walking around and I'm walking around and I'm telling the story of my brother who's sober for 13, 14 years now, and I was kept welling up because in that place you could sense lives being saved. Yes. If you don't tap into that and stories of redemption, I love, this is my favorite book, though some people are surprised to hear it, is A Christmas Carol, because it's the story of redemption of someone all the way one way brought back. So and the movie that you're working on is called The Hail Mary.
Okay. It's about a irascible nun tracks down this guy who needs redemption, so she cons him into creating a football team for her all-boys Catholic school.
Love it.
So it's that. And by the way, Christmas Carol, I did an adaptation of it and performed it about 6 years ago. And I put the part that I kept insisting that be part of the story was, it's because we're telling a story for a modern audience, I said Scrooge has to be on his knees. He has to be begging for a second chance. Yes. It doesn't just get a second chance.
That's why Alistair Sims' version in the cemetery, when he is down and he is, I beg of you, give me a chance.
Because it's usually, rushed over in every production I've ever seen. But it's not a joke. We've seen these beautiful people here, and there's the other people in here. Second chance, man, this smoke out, this natural smoke out. What a... God bless you guys for being part of that, but you're going to change someone's life. I mean, someone's going to be here longer if they succeed today.
We hope,
they will have succeeded 40 years from now.
Right.
This will be the day that changes that.
I wanted to talk about the having a good cry. Our resident crier in the studio is Casey.
Oh, Casey's a crier.
Yeah, and to point it out, this culmination of this film, this part made him cry.
This week.
Oh, I thought this started right at the beginning, but this made him cry.
Oh, yeah. No, it's sad stuff.
It's happy.
I kid you not.
You can cry for joy.
This is a movie, and this made him tear up.
I cry out of joy. As easily as I do out of sadness.
No, that's from the Muppet movie?
Yes.
So that's Paul Williams wrote that.
He didn't write that particular song.
Oh, he didn't write that one?
But he did write some songs.
He wrote, all right. I was going to say.
Do you know Paul Williams?
I wish I knew him personally.
Did you see the documentary?
Oh, it's great.
It's great.
Awesome.
I've seen him since then. I bumped into him. He goes, I don't know. Is that a bad idea? Watch Paul Williams on The Odd Couple. It's one of the greatest performances by Tony Randall and him.
Speaking of documentaries, there was one that came out several years ago, and maybe you saw it. It was called That Thing That Was In That Guy That Was In That Thing.
Oh, yeah.
About character actors. And there are some people who, have a wonderful career of just playing these small one-time roles over and over. And, you're in that club. Some guys are however, making a point that I need to work, and I hope I get the next job, as opposed to getting a role on a regular sitcom, on a TV show, whatever it may be. That's as 9 to 5 as you can get for acting.
But what did you think?
Well, I said there was another documentary called That Face is Familiar in which I was one of the eight people.
Oh, okay.
Here's what I say about it. I think that God gave me this gift,
yeah.
And however I use it is how I use it. I've kind of transcended from character to star and back again because I do not only have my own series, but I star in a lot of movies. Even if they're not The Fugitive, you know, if they're Getting Grace, it's still my own movie. So I'm comfortable working. And
consistently.
And consistently. And last week I did something I've never done. I orated in for the Allentown Symphony. They did Lincoln Portrait. And,
wow.
And I did that. So I'm always trying to do new stuff.
That's cool.
Well, so one way to get into movies is to literally hold up a sign by somebody who might be producing or writing or directing the movie. And that's how... We have you here right now as a listener of the show. Is this guy named Stephen Klakowicz?
Stephen Klakowicz in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
So tell the story of man.
Well, Stephen, I'm driving. Every morning I get my Dunkin' Donuts. I wish they would pay me for saying that. But every morning I get my Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm driving, and I almost the Dunkin' Donuts came out my nose because there was a sign that said, "Mr. Roebuck, can I be in your next movie?"
What?
On the side of the road. So this Steve Klakowicz, always in front of their insurance firm there on Linda Street in Bethlehem, they always have great funny sayings that he always puts up. And one day I'm talking randomly to this lovely young lady, Carrie Klakowicz, who is driving our tour van around. When we took the movie out, we toured up and down the coast
right.
for 15 days. And I said, those signs are always great. And she goes, that's my brother. Like crazy. That's my brother. So I stopped by and finally met him. Yeah, but that's a crazy. It's so
is he getting a role?
Oh, sure, he'll get a role. You know, it's very, you know, I mean, it's that. Not that hard. All you got to do, if you want to be in a movie with me, you let me know. I can't give you lines because, you know, there's all kinds of rules about that.
Can they prime the pump with a Dunkin' Donuts purchase?
Yeah, probably. That'll help.
Let me ask you.
We're Union Brothers. Are you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're Union Brothers. That's right. We're all Union
we're
Brothers.
SAG,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah. We get our SAG screener copies and everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Absolutely. You could give us lines. You
yeah,
know,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Could I give you lines for ultra low budget contracts? That's the question.
We were actually in a movie with we were the radio voices in the background and the mechanic, right?
Yeah, with
that's cool.
With
the guy, that guy.
David Morse. Not Jason Statham, the other one, yeah.
No, it was a different mechanic.
Yeah.
And Corey Monteith.
Yeah,
his last movie.
I wanted to ask you about you've done a little bit of video game stuff.
Oh yeah.
I know because you're geeky. You have a good geeky side. You collect figures too. Yeah. So we're kindred spirits. You a video game player as well?
So here's the thing. I don't play video games because I would go in the rabbit hole.
You go down. Yeah, I hear you.
And we didn't have them around the house because I wanted my son and daughter to be, you know, physically active. So and they
to see what the sun looks like.
Yeah. So so they're not like Nosferatu, and both have turned out well. But do you know I can't say what it. So I'm in L.A. Noire and I'm in Dead Rising 3.
L.A. Noire is a work of art.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
It's like Tron, and when you, like, someone had to play it, and you see, like, they're like, stop, don't move, and the character turns around, and it's me.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm in the video game. Like, I'm, you know, I'm Jeff Bridges. I'm Tron.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so that's crazy. I'm David Warner, you know, the sinister guy. So I have to drop a hint. I'm starting a new video game project.
Really?
And it's amazing.
Is amazing. Is it for Rockstar?
I don't know what to tell you about that, but I can't say anything else or they'll fire me.
All right, well, when can we expect?
Well, it's a video game, so we're going to shoot until June. Yeah. So I would imagine 2021, maybe.
Wow. Yeah, they take a couple years. And by the way, they have budgets that rival and sometimes exceed major motion pictures.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because they make $1 billion on the first day.
Yep.
You know, actors don't get a piece of that, but I will say this, I don't care. Because what I'm going to get to do, and I can't wait till I can say it, because I'd love to share it with you, but it's let me just tell you this, life is about one blessing after another. And the key is to recognize something I loved as a child that I could be part of as an adult.
That's everything.
Yeah. It's everything.
And then also the credo that we keep repeating a lot on the show and that I'm a big fan of is sometimes just get out of the way and let life move.
Let it just move.
Yeah. I just want to talk to you about your career in this sense. Like, all right, so you got your first, I saw on IMDb, like 1985. And you're
Cave Girl?
Cave Girl, big hit.
Regardless of what it was, you were younger then, you didn't know anybody then, nobody knew you, but over time, you accrued all of these credits, but at the same time, you also met all of these people.
Yes.
Now, I have a friend of mine who moved out to L.A. We were both in theater together in high school, and he did what I probably should have done, which is, you know, he pursued it in college and went out to L.A. to become an actor. And now he's a florist and he's crushing it in the floral game in Beverly Hills. But the crazy thing is now he's getting all of these calls because all of these people that are casting are now his contemporaries. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at 21, he didn't know anything. But now at 42, he now has all of these friends that are in the industry. But now at the same time, he's like, yeah, but I got this business.
But he's a florist.
Yeah. And he's crushing it. Yeah.
So here's what I mentor a lot of people and I talk to a lot of kids. And this is exactly what Steve was saying. Now, look, we all have, we're given these desires in our heart. God plants a seed in us. And sometimes we may misunderstand the seed and something, you know, like if I want to just be famous, that's not how you get to be an actor. There's no one who'll say, I only ever said I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
So I went out to Hollywood to be an actor with no. I never wrote an Oscar speech. I never nothing like that. So what is amazing happened for your buddy, and it happened for the first wife. My first wife Leslie came with me. Her life really was meant to take place to transpire in Los Angeles. So she and I together were how we got out there, and she met the next guy and had the daughter. And so the point is, if he hadn't left here, he wouldn't be the superstar florist.
And
the key is be happy with being the superstar florist. Look, I never understand. I don't want to throw the guy under the space shuttle, but you know, you hear like the guys on Star Trek, you know,
they get pissed off. Yeah, yeah.
They get mad and you're like, well, that's better than 99.9 actors get. You get to be remembered for the rest of your life.
For something. Yeah.
Yeah. So why is that not enough?
We talk about that all the time. We love when we get those pop culture peripheral people, when we get Billy Zabka, who, you know, from Karate Kid or whatever, and they come in and they love it. And they love the fan base and they love the people to this day. Love to see them and they've got stories and they're enjoying life.
Billy Zabka, when we were signing off with him, we were like, all right, thank you very much. We applaud. And he goes, oh, wait, hang on a second, guys. Screw you, Melon.
Yeah.
And then so he made sure he got that in because that was, that was a great line.
Well, the thing about Billy Zabka is now you can't even make that up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You're Billy Zabka. Yeah. 30 years later, they're like, hey, we have this idea. You're the star.
Yeah.
You know, I unfortunately, all the big movies, like River's Edge, they killed me.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one's calling back to make me the star. But I put it out here first. Where's Matlock and Company?
Exactly.
How come I'm not solving crimes, baby?
Absolutely.
You know, that's what I want to be doing.
You introduced the word into my vocabulary via a character, and it's the word hinky.
Oh, hinky,
which you and your fellow cop friends use in The Fugitive. And The Fugitive is one of my all-time favorite movies. I've watched it 12 million times. But I don't really quote Harrison Ford. I quote you, Daniel. So,
well, sorry. You can use, hey, that's hinky, more than you could use, I did not kill my wife.
Yeah.
There's more opportunities. To show that in a comedy.
I don't know. We say hinky.
Yeah. We say hinky. You know, and by the way, that's the only line in that script that the writer wrote. We made up, you guys, The Fugitive, which is so... It's evergreen. We would create the dialogue in mass. Tommy Lee, Joey Pants, Tom Wood, L. Scott Caldwell, and I would create the dialogue.
That's how you got it that way.
And then we would memorialize it, and then we would film it.
Wow.
And then in the second movie, they tried to write the banter, but they didn't write for us, so we just threw that out again and set our... And I know the screenplay writers are... I'll bring that script in one day and I'll show you the funny stuff I wrote and the stuff that wasn't there.
That kind of kinetic, wonderful, organic delivery is something that's just so wonderful when it goes right. We talk about the interaction between Gwyneth Paltrow as Pepper Potts and Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.
Right. Oh yeah,
that boom, boom, boom. It's wonderful.
Yeah, there's a verisimilitude to it that makes it seem like real people are really talking.
I remember you told us years ago that you quoted your brother in the tunnel when you said, "You got to be kidding me!
You got to be kidding me!" Yeah, that's my brother. You think I was bad on other people's movies. On this movie, Getting Grace, the character eats chili cheese dogs, because that's what I like. They eat them in Monocacy Park, because that's where me and my buddy Scott Brunell ate them.
So are you going to do a M. Night Shyamalan deal and make your movies here?
I really am going to try. I've got two ahead. This next one, this is the problem. Like, it's not a problem. It's the blessing and the curse. To tell the movie the story that I want to tell, I got to make it independently. I can tell you that, you know, we put this up for the Independent Spirit Awards, and I was saying to my wife, I wouldn't hold your breath. You know, we're not selling what Hollywood's selling. I'm selling.
Right.
I'm selling be happy, live life, celebrate God's creation,
right.
And they're selling everything's terrible, we're awful, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
You know, we're all confused about who we are. I'm selling the opposite. So I've got to raise my own money to tell those stories.
I think there's a place for it, definitely.
Thank you.
Well, the film is out, and you can get it through Walmart now.
Walmart, Amazon Prime, Amazon.com, everywhere.
It is called Getting Grace. It was written and directed and starred in by you.
Thank you. Co-written. Jeff Lewis wrote it with me, directed, starred, and produced by me. I would invite people to go to GettingGraceTheMovie.com. It's a good place where they can find information and leave comments.
And support a local filmmaker now. Yeah. Please, now we have a couple now.
Yeah, and if you want to be part of the next one, give me a call.
Give me a call. Great to see you. Thanks for being
here. All
right,
God bless all of you. Thank you so much.
Danny Roebuck.
Yeah!
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit hannahandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spot for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you, Kathy.
Preston, that when they close work or when they close the offices early for a snow event or whatever, we would actually have to stay around to participate in that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, in order for us to be the part of the early dismissal, we would actually have to
stay around
in the day. We never get in on that, unfortunately. Doesn't happen. So we have our non-smokers back here in the studio now. It is the Great American Smokeout. And Dr. Rosenberg had spent some time with our gang here in the conference room, taking them through the hypnotic process of quitting smoking for good. And put your headphones on, Dr. Rosenberg.
He's trying. He's breaking everything today.
Yeah, looking over there, you look all confused. I love Dr. Rosenberg. He's awesome. How did it go?
Went very well.
Yes.
I will never smoke.
You cured yourself.
I'm cured.
Yeah.
So in years past, what we've learned is you will take cigarettes and have people associate them with something that is disgusting and that they don't want to have anything to do with. And was that the process used again today?
Yes. We used our usual vomit, which was very good.
Never really something they did. You're scant few people who just love the concept of vomit and love smelling it.
Yeah.
So.
In fact, where is he? Mike. He was going to throw up on me.
Oh, my God. Really? That's good.
He was on the other side of me, and he was going to throw up. So I had stereophonic throw up.
Yes, very cool. Like so just a quick show of hands. Who felt they were impacted by what you just did with Dr. Rosenberg? All right, all hands going up.
Yeah, looks like everybody.
Very cool. And so what you actually do is you have they recorded it on their phones.
Yes, so they will listen to it twice a day.
Yeah.
Or more. And they will drink a lot of fluids. Water is great. Take some vitamins, B12 and vitamin C. It's great to help cleanse the body and take the place of nicotine. Nicotine, as you know, is 10 times more addictive than heroin.
Yeah.
By the way, one of the non-smokers here, I believe it was Brett, said he's going to try my heavy drinking method.
Oh, the heavy Preston's method, which is his quit smoking, so. Preston has his own clinic.
I wish him luck.
Yes.
In that. I don't recommend that. That's not for everybody.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But it did work for me.
So that's...
Did you not?
It's very cool. Well, and you guys will listen, and you'll keep us apprised of your progress as everything goes. But there are many who have walked out, as we said before, just in the one session and never smoked again. Smoke. So we're hoping for that.
Great. And if anybody would like to get more information about what we do, if they would visit our website at www.quititnow.com.
And if you're a police officer, you can get
it
free.
Yeah. Yes. Call us and we'll register you at 215-782-8414.
And excellent. That information's up on PrestonSteve.com as well, so people can just quickly log on and get it all there.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Rosenberg. Great
Thank
to see
you so much.
All right, let's hear it for the doctor. Get out of here.
Go stop smoking.
So a couple of texts coming in that there's sleet in Bridgeton, New Jersey, heavy flurries in South Jersey, snowing in Newark. So I guess it's coming up, Steve.
Yeah.
The I-95 corridor.
The worst phrase in the world.
It is on its way up. So it's creeping into the area very soon. You're not looking forward to it?
I have a puppy, and you know you have.
Then he craps all over the house.
And you think that happens more with snow?
We had the same thing last year. So we got our two dogs, our puppies, right around Christmas. Not a good time to get puppies because you need to potty train them.
Yes,
it's freezing cold. You get snow on the ground. They go out. They track it all back into the house and make a total mess. So it's just a tough time.
Just
to
a
train
word of advice.
And it's also it's been raining a lot too. So
it's muddy poop.
There's actually a really funny meme out there, and it's just this dog looking out the window, and it's raining outside, and it just says, "Oh, it's raining outside. Guess I'm crapping in the house today."
Right.
It's a funny meme, but, you know, so puppies have to go out quite a bit. And it's not like I'm not taking my puppy out. He's got me beat by like 5 minutes.
Right.
You son of a bitch.
No, timing is tough. I walked into the house yesterday, and we still had our puppy pad tray sitting up, which they haven't used in months and months and months.
Right.
But it's just still there.
Just for old time's sake.
And as I walked in, I looked at it, and I'm like, thank God we don't have to worry about that anymore. But it's just you just have to go through it.
When you come up to the puppy route, you got to do that.
Yeah.
I had asked my daughter to take take the puppy out. His name's Reggie. Hey, take Reggie out. All right. So she takes him out, and then she comes back in, and she goes, "Dad, he didn't go. You know, I know. I'm cleaning up where he went." You know? So like,
all right. Well, we all got something to deal with, and snow never makes it easier. But
It'll turn to rain, right? For the most part, so we'll be fine.
At least you wouldn't have this to deal with. I got sent this by a couple of people. It was I recall catching this story. Maybe a couple of years back.
You relayed this story on the show.
Okay, I thought so. But it's making the rounds again, or the people that own this house have spoken out. But it was let me give you the story.
Yeah, so please.
A New Jersey family terrorized for years by a mysterious figure known only as the Watcher.
You mentioned, yes, okay. Yeah, all right, I remember this story.
So they just shared new details about their ordeal in an interview published on Tuesday.
I can see you through your window.
Oh, no. It's Caitlin.
I'm here. Some Tutti Frutti ice cream.
When Tutti Frutti?
Oh, yeah.
When Derek and Maria brought us, bought their home in Westfield, New Jersey in 2014, they fulfilled a lifelong dream. But soon after closing, it became a nightmare as the family began getting letters from the Watcher, a shadowy figure who cryptically referred to secrets hidden in the house.
Yeah.
I mean, like revealing things that only they would know that were inside this home.
That were able to be validated and proven. So he clearly had a working knowledge of the house.
The Watcher also appeared to threaten the Broaddus's three children by name.
And one of the letters read, it has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all of its all of the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement, or are they too afraid to go down there alone? And it said, I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream.
I mean, at that point, you almost just move.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they eventually reached a breaking point and went to live at with Maria's parents. The Broaddus's first attempt to sell the home, which they had bought for nearly $1.4
million.
Whoa. But they couldn't find a buyer. And Derek said, I was a depressed wreck. He told The Cut this. That's who did the interview. He said, it's like cancer. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night thinking, what would my life be like if this didn't happen? We lost Christmas a couple of times, and you don't get that back. Maria said that she would have terrifying nightmares about the Watcher, including one dream involving a man wearing these boots and carrying a pitchfork and calling to the kids. Now, the letters were delivered to the Broaddus's home through the mail. The letters had been processed at a U.S. Postal Service distribution center in Kearney, which is about 20 miles northeast of Westfield. The Broaddus's contacted the home's previous owner to see if they, too, had been the subjected to the Watcher's torment. Andrea Woods, who had lived at the home with her husband, John, told the Broaddus family that she once received a letter from a person claiming that it was their turn to, quote, watch the house, too.
It's a beautiful house.
But Andrea said that it was the only such letter she received in the 23 years at the property, and she just ended up throwing it away. The increasingly desperate Broaddus family then called in several experts, including a former FBI agent, to crack the case, but that investigation is stalled and only succeeded in ruling a few suspects out. Some neighbors, though, have actually accused the family of making this up. He had said, there's a natural tendency to say, I've lived here 35 years, nothing's happened to me, Derek said. What happened to my family is an affront to their contention that they're safe, that there's no such thing as mental illness in their community. People don't want to believe this could happen in Westfield. They no longer live there. They rent it out.
Yes. To the Watcher.
Derek said that he and his wife try to avoid the house unless they absolutely have to, and noted the family is losing money as the rent paid doesn't cover the property's mortgage.
Well, you remember the Lutz family? They were the ones that had the Amityville house. And, they created this whole story, mm-hmm. which was, you know, it was later Newsday, you know, the newspaper in Long Island, they covered it and the whole thing. And they created this story. Now, there was a murder in the house. Certainly that happened before the DeFeo family. But it's not uncommon that people try to do this and do sort of a money grab. But has there been any book, talk of a book or anything? Or because usually you do this as a means to an end to get some sort of story or money or publishing deal or something. And that doesn't appear to be the case with this family.
It doesn't indicate. Yeah, it says one day after the new tenants moved in, Derek went to the house to try to chase away some squirrels who had taken up residence in the roof. But when he got there, one of the renters handed him a letter addressed to the, quote, vile and spiteful Derek and his wench of a wife, Maria, and had written in it, you wonder who the Watcher is? Turn around, idiots. Maybe you even spoke to me, one of the so-called neighbors who has no idea who the Watcher could be. Or maybe you do not and are too scared to tell anyone. Good move. Or maybe you do know and are too scared to tell anyone. Good move. So he brought the letter to the police, but investigators came up empty again. That's terrifying.
I suppose if they really did have a promising clue or angle, they wouldn't reveal it. But at this point, I mean, it's an emotional terror that it's horrible.
And somebody's getting their jollies on it if this is indeed the case. So
that's a shame. How old is this house?
I don't know.
How much does it weigh?
At least a ton, right?
At least a ton.
You would think so.
I
mean,
I don't know. In any of these cases, though, you move into this house. In fact, Get Out is based on the Eddie Murphy concept. Yeah. The second you walk in and you hear a ghostly voice say, get out, get out!
Sorry, we can't stay here, baby.
Gotta go now.
Yeah, I grew up in an old house, all right? So the house was built in the 1800s, kind of like where you live now,
yes.
Steve. Wouldn't you love to know the true history of that house? Like who built it? Who was the first family
to
live in there?
Well, you can find that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought to do that until literally right at this moment.
Right. Now that you're out of it and the voices have stopped.
How do you even begin, you know? I mean, you can contact the last people that own the home.
Well, you go to the town hall. the records. I think they would have records of owners and so on and so forth. And you can do some.
Yeah.
You know, there are public records that are available.
I told you about the people that lived in the house before us. In fact, when my parents bought the house, they were like,
they had a coffin in there.
The guy slept in a coffin.
Kid you not?
Yeah.
And you guys stayed out of that room, right?
Well, so
like nobody used that room.
There was a room on the third floor that had like demons and monsters painted onto the wall.
I have great news. We're going to join the Running Away Club. It's a dream come true. The local children run away or jump. I'm trying to decide. I'm reviewing two brochures, one for the Running Away Club and one for the Jumping Club.
And not only did my mom have that room in the house blessed by a priest, but she didn't even want my dad to paint over
the demon pictures.
She had him sand them off the walls altogether.
Okay. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people, upon moving into a house, remove all the demonic paintings. It's part of the deal. You know, a lot of people will change the pentagram carpet for maybe like a light shag.
We had our house built. I like the fact that we're the very first people to own the home.
But are you?
Because
on an Indian graveyard, right? That's where you're.
Yeah. They didn't remove the graves.
You know what? We had to blast to actually get to pour the foundation. So I'm pretty certain there was nothing below
where it was.
So what's that?
It was a blast.
It was a blast.
Yes. Well, you saw bones flying and pieces of coffin.
But I like the fact that when we're done and gone, or when we eventually decide to move on, that you know that was we made that we had a say in how that thing was put together. And
I didn't hear was where the owner was caught pleasuring himself by his wife. Unaware that the light from his laptop was obscuring his vision. Follow me into the observatory.
I was wearing headphones too.
I didn't hear her come in.
Kathy shakes her head.
Headphone, like you were all in.
Oh, hey, you can't do that half-assed.
No.
Clearly.
You gotta go.
Sure,
he was vigorously providing himself with pleasure. His wife called out to him, but he could not hear because he was listening to his headphones. And here is the pool table where pool is seldom played, but clothing is for.
My daughter and I played pool the other night.
Oh, yeah. All right.
First time in a while. She asked me to. But yes, it's become a laundry table. Oh, my God.
Yeah, what are the other wonderful things? What are the other...
As they lead the tour.
Horrible things that have happened.
No one stays in this house after night.
The dining room where no one eats, they drink, right? Isn't there a bar in there?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, let's not forget the old house with the haunted litter box.
It was on a rainy night when the owner awoke from many hours of drinking and raised a shotgun to the automatic kitty litter cleaner, yelling out, "I want to see you."
I've got a gun.
I gave him 10 seconds to get out of the house. Which I thought was, you know.
We should all design haunted tours of our current house. Dumb crap.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
My brother thinks my house is haunted. He said that since the day we've moved in.
No,
he said there's somebody that lives here with you.
Wait, your country house?
Yeah, my really? Current house. Yeah, since the day that my brother lived
here. You're the first owners.
For a little while. And he said, he's like, I hear them. He goes, they walk around.
Wait. Did you have a house built?
Yes.
Okay, so it's you're the first owner.
We are the first owner. There was
this
a house.
This place is too clean.
No, but Preston, there was a house there that was knocked down.
Okay.
And actually, the man who has since passed away, he was a wonderful man, lived across the street from me.
I hope you're rotten hell.
No, well, he did the masonry work on the house.
Did
and he told me one time, he goes, yeah, when they were tearing down that house, he goes, I sat outside and watched. He goes, I did, you know, all of that work on the house. And I was like, oh my God, man. I'm so sorry.
Now it's haunted by Slender Manthy.
Yeah, so it's...
Slender Manthy.
I mean, I think it's just the house settling, but my brother thinks it's haunted.
Jeans. Slender Manby.
Do these jeans make me look hippie?
Steve, I'm going to post something on my Instagram story later.
Yeah.
I made a quick little video for you last night. All of this
all
I'm
right.
going to say.
Oh, you never not, made videos for me.
Is it a video that
you, it's so funny. You all went, ooh. It's basically the reason why I haven't posted yet because I'm like, oh, I'm wearing pajamas and I don't have any makeup on. Should I do this?
Are you wearing a bra or no?
I'm not, no.
I'm in.
Yeah, right?
Sold.
I can't see anything.
Trust me. If it's directed at me, it has to do with superheroes or something else.
No, it's Manthe.
It's Manthe? Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see Manthe.
I want to see that for sure. Okay. We do need to take a break, but I do want to mention something that we made kind of a soft announcement on this morning. You know, as we're getting ready for the Camp Out for Hunger, we're planning all kinds of stuff, and still the pieces are coming together, so we're just kind of slowly rolling these things out. You know, we're going to be doing our mass wedding. By the way, if you're interested in that, you can check out PrestonandSteve.com, and it says Hungry for Love, and you can submit there if you like. There's a little bit of paperwork that needs to be done, so keep that in mind as you're going to do that. But another thing that we've added, Monday is going to be crazy. It's going to be, and I mean that in a great way.
Yeah.
We are going to have a skate on Flyers Ice at the Wells Fargo Center after the show is over. The first 100 people that bring their ice skates down there and you get a wristband, you'll be able to go join us for that open skate. We will have that night our calendar girls stopping by with the new calendar as well. And that's comedy night too. And for the price of a donation, you'll be able to see our comedy show in the Victory Beer Hall starring Dave Attell, man.
Dave Attell is absolutely one of the best. He's a comedian's comedian. He floors me every time, but the lineup is great outside of Dave.
Hosted by Rich Voss, and then we got a couple other names that are going to be added, and there's a reason why we can't add them just yet, but you're going to love the ones that we've added.
Yes.
Yes, so that's coming. So that's Monday night, the first night of the Camp Out for Hunger. So if you come and stay all day, you'll have plenty to do.
Yeah, and honestly, we'd love to pack up the comedy show because this is to see
four headliners.
Guys in a smaller venue like that. Four headliners in a smaller venue. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be on Monday. Let's what?
I just thought of an invention. Four headliners. The things that go
four headliners. So it lines your forehead.
Right. Yeah. I'm tired of a dirty forehead.
Yes, four headliners. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment. What am I giving away?
Gachos.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to give away the last two. No, I have more than that. All right, so let me do two of these six packs of coupons, good for six full-size packages of Gottschall's turkey bacon. Call number 14, 215-263-WMMR. Real wood smoked, 80% less fat than most pork bacon. It's available at Acme, ShopRite, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. So call now. We'll put you in. We'll get you the goodies, and we have some other prizes to give away before the show is up as well. So we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. I'm going to add another thing to the stuff at the Camp Out for Hunger.
Oh my God.
Slowly, these confirmations and things start coming in. They keep trickling in. So I'm just going to add them, and eventually we'll have a big list of all the stuff that we're going to be doing. But with the mass wedding that we're going to have Wednesday at the Camp Out for Hunger on the 28th, which, of course, all it costs you is a donation of food in order to come and participate in that. But Marissa was saying that, and this is what makes it even cooler, is the majority of people who have agreed to do this can't afford a wedding on their own. So we're happy that we're able to facilitate this, because if they were to do it, nobody would be able to come. They can't afford reception. They can't afford any of that stuff. So we're going to have that type of thing going on.
I love that. And to that point, Preston, people are being, you will know if you are part of the group. We're not saying just show up and you'll get married that day. We will have sent in your submission and we will have responded to you.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't know if we've mentioned this yet, but it's okay. Like, if you have a wedding dress or a white dress or something, wear it.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, Steven Singer, this is...
That's what I was about to announce. Okay. All right. So I was about to say that we have...
Drumroll?
Well, first of all, there's going to be a honeymoon that we're going to give away. One lucky couple will win that.
Yes.
But the giving doesn't stop there. Steven Singer got in touch with us, and courtesy of him, 10 couples present that we will choose are going to get free wedding bands from Steven Singer Jewelers. How about that?
Yeah. Wow. That's 10 awesome. Couples. That is freaking awesome.
Yeah. So we're pretty stoked about that. So we'll have, I would imagine we'll have some other giveaways. In fact, from Colleen from Creeble's Bakery, is going to give away a free cake on your 1 year anniversary.
Wow.
So you come back. So we'll give, everybody's going to get one of those, and they're going to be supplying the cakes for the event. So, it's just a lot of cool. This is going to turn out to be
a
lot of fun.
You know, a lot of it is coming together last minute because we were not aware that this was available to us, but I think it's coming together in an exemplary way.
Yeah. So, this is going to be a good time. We hope you're going to be there for a part of it, whether it be that wedding or the comedy night or the free skate that we're going to do on Flyers Ice. Our friends from the Flyers have something that we're planning as well for one of the days. Or you're coming out to see when, you know, like 200 Porsches come by to drop off for the fill a frog, or Monday when all the Jeeps come by with Jackson's Jeep Club.
Archery dodgeball.
Yes. And loads
hamster
of
ball.
Yeah, that's we're waiting on the go ahead on that. It's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah, it's a done deal. It's a done deal.
We got to wait for
hamster
some
ball.
Some things to be finalized. But okay.
We got to get going.
Casey said we got to get going. Right. So let's do the bizarre.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Live Nation Presents. Tom Segura, four shows, November 16th and 17th. So that's tomorrow and Saturday at the Merriam Theater. Limited tickets remain for the November 16th late show only. All other shows are sold out. Get your tickets now at livenation.com. Everybody's been here. It's a Saturday night. You've had three mojitos too many, and the next thing you know, you're running down the street with a live lobster in one hand.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, an intoxicated Florida woman found herself in this classic situation after a manager asked her to leave the St. Petersburg Red Lobster on Saturday for reportedly causing a scene and disturbing other customers. Well, feeling she had to make a bigger statement than just cursing her way out, she allegedly reached in and grabbed a live lobster straight out of the water tank and got out of there. The police...
Look at this thing.
Is that a woman?
That's the lobster.
Yeah. Is that a woman?
She looks like... Who was the guy that was going to call in the other day that didn't call in? The actor who always plays a jerk.
John McGinley?
Yes, yeah. He looks like John McGinley to some extent.
Except more macho.
So anyhow, the police were called and found the woman who denied knowing the lobster's location.
I don't know where I put the lobster.
Using the textbook, and I quote, "I was hammered" defense. According to the police report, she told the cops that she didn't care or do anything wrong in the restaurant.
That's an praying a lobster is wrong. I don't want to be right.
Surprisingly, this defense did not work, and the woman was booked for disorderly conduct. A Florida man was pulled over by law enforcement and given a citation. It all sounds normal until you learn that he was actually dressed as Fred Flintstone, and the vehicle was driving was the footmobile made famous in the popular cartoon show.
Florida man, Florida man.
It was all in fun, though. Don Swartz is his name, Fred Flintstone, was driving around
That's
the area.
That's Fred Flintstone's real name?
In his smart car disguised as Fred's car, the footmobile.
I love it.
A county deputy pulled Swartz over for allegedly speeding in a neighborhood and issued him a notice to appear in court. So
it's a great picture.
Yep. All right, and then one more, Casey. We got time for that?
Yeah, just one more.
All right, let's go with this one. It's kind of long, but I'll try to get through it quickly. Prosecutors are once again hoping that smart speaker data could be the key to securing a murder conviction. A New Hampshire judge has ordered Amazon to provide recordings from an Echo speaker between January 27, 2017 and January 29, 2017, plus info identifying paired smartphones to aid in investigating a double homicide case. The court decided there was probable cause to believe the speaker might have captured audio of the murders and their aftermath. Law enforcement had charged Timothy Verrill with murdering Christine Sullivan and Jenna Pellegrini at the home of Sullivan's boyfriend, Dean Smorunk. Verrill has access to the home security code and had been seen on surveillance cameras with the two women, leading investigators to believe that their Echo might have picked up some additional information.
That's pretty wild because the Echo is always listening. And this could be troubling.
Whether or not there's any information to provide isn't clear. In a statement, Amazon did not acknowledge the presence of any recordings, but said that it would provide customer data unless there was a valid and binding legal demand properly served on us. However, the likelihood of recordings isn't terribly high. Like many smart speakers, the Echo isn't continuously recording. It only captures audio when someone uses the speaker's hot word, typically Alexa, and then only for a brief moment it takes to issue a command. The murderer, I'm sorry, would have needed to explicitly activate the Echo while committing the crimes. Paired phones wouldn't necessarily. So we would have to ask Alexa to play some music while killing this person.
Alexa, record this murder.
Yeah. Paired phones wouldn't necessarily have helped either. You don't need to link a specific phone to an Echo to use it, and a paired phone won't necessarily give away who used the speaker. As it stands, prosecution teams have not had much success using Echo devices to secure convictions.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File. Let me give away these passes that I have for Tom Segura. The show is tomorrow night. And it will be at the Miriam Theater. And the first three shows have sold out. I'm going to give away the rest of the tickets. Is that okay, Case?
Well, we still have more, too.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, so callers 15, 16, and 17, I'm going to give you these tickets. And grab the tickets for the fourth show before they are gone. Tickets are on sale now, KimmelCenter.org. So 215-263-WMMR. 15, 16, and 17, you will get those tickets. We'll take another break. We'll get back in a second. Lesson question, trash music news. That's all on the way.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Panama, Van Halen, 93.3 WMMR. I need to go back and revisit that 1984 album. That's a phenomenal album. Catch that from beginning to end. Some of the best stuff is at the very, very end, by the way.
It was the first rock record that was mine. I got it as a cassette.
Yeah.
And I would listen to it on my Walkman, and it was music, rock music that was introduced to me by my friends and not my parents.
I would ride the bus to school when that came out, and I remember somebody was in charge of bringing music on the bus, this girl. She had like a boombox.
It's an important job.
And it was. Yeah, yeah. But we listened to that for like 3 months straight, yeah, like every single morning. And that's how I got to know that record inside and out.
Would you all like dance down the aisles and stuff like that?
Yeah. No, it didn't turn into, you know, the school for the performing arts or anything along those lines.
But you got a serious jam, bro.
Even though you want fame? Yeah, well, fame costs and sweat. That's right, man. Starts right here. No, but I have a great memory of that album in particular.
Love it.
We're going to give away the lesson question prize, a 4-pack of tickets, and that is for the Philadelphia Wings lacrosse welcome home opener. They're playing Buffalo, playing the Bandits on Saturday, December 15th at the Wells Fargo Center. So the question I asked today is, what kind of ice cream does Caitlyn Jenner like to bring over?
Oh, yeah.
It does.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. No, dude, you can't answer. I got hands going up here in the background. What kind of ice cream does Caitlyn Jenner like to bring over? 215-263-WMMR. We'll see if you know. We're going to do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Worldwide Stereo. Take your gift giving up a notch. See Worldwide Stereo's awesome gift guide at WorldwideStereo.com or head to their stores in Montgomeryville and Ardmore. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Jennifer Lopez making close to $3 million to play a private party in Qatar. Lopez admits that she's not exactly sure where Qatar is, but says she's just thrilled to finally travel into space.
Oh, my God.
Al Sharpton paying tribute to comic legend Marvel mastermind Stan Lee as a pioneer of the civil rights movement. Sharpton says his favorite Lee creations are, quote, The Inedible Bulk and Captioned America.
Oh, my God.
And finally, as the wildfires loom, the owners of the mansion used by The Bachelor have hired a private security team to protect it. Fortunately, the mansion is sealed tightly in a thick shell comprised of years of accumulated semen.
Oh,
jeez. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, thanks, Steve. We'll see if we can get an answer to today's lesson question. What kind of ice cream does Caitlyn Jenner like to bring over? And I will go to, let's go to Hugh and see if Hugh knows the answer.
Hugh!
No, I hit the wrong button.
Okay.
Hugh just hung up.
Damn you, Hugh!
Hugh, are you there?
Magnificent Hugh.
I'm here.
Oh, wait,
he's
no.
There!
I don't know how this happened. Okay, Hugh, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Hugh, what kind of ice cream does Caitlyn Jenner like to bring over?
I'm going to say he likes to bring Rudy Tootie.
Rudy Tootie. Steve, I'm going to leave it up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. It's Tutti Frutti.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hang on a second.
You had the right idea.
Yay! Hang on just a second. We actually have the song Tutti Frutti, don't we?
We do. Let me see if I can find that.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah. I didn't ask for it, but I thought maybe.
Mm. How do you spell it?
T-U.
No.
T-T-I.
Who sings it again?
No, it's Little Richard, but it was on the
Placido Domingo.
It was on the Vox Pro, Casey.
Oh, it was on the Vox Pro.
Yeah, because we played. Oh. Never mind.
I got it. No. We got it. We got it. Booyah. And go.
What am I doing?
Oh, hit it right here.
Okay. All right.
You got it right. That means we're going to give you a four-pack of tickets for the Philadelphia Wings lacrosse welcome home opener. The Wings face off against the Buffalo Bandits on Saturday, December 15th at 1 p.m. At the Wells Fargo Center. You can join the party and expect the unexpected. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! I like big balls.
It's brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds in Tax-Free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Limp Bizkit is going to work on their long-awaited sixth album. Yep, they're set to do that. Wes Borland announced via Instagram getting warmed up to actually make a brand new Limp Bizkit album. We would have started last Saturday, but were displaced by the fires and lost some gear. Getting back on our feet and in the studio within the week.
Yay.
As previously reported, Fred Durst lost his Southern California home in the wildfire.
Now that's sad.
Yeah, while Borland lost several pieces of musical equipment. Limp Bizkit's last effort, Gold Cobra, was released 7 years ago. Since then, they released four singles. Promised to release a full-length collection of new material called Stampede of the Disco Elephants, but that never happened.
Hey.
So, Disturbed singer David Draymond hasn't been on Twitter in 3 years.
Really?
And he has no plan to go back to the social media platform. Draymond told Loudwire that nowadays he isn't able to keep in contact with fans like he used to. And I kind of like what he has to say about this. He says, nah, I can't on the same level by any means, and it's unfortunate. It's also a matter of just pure numbers. Once it got to a point where I could no longer handle it in terms of sheer volume and size, it became a daunting thing. It became something that actually came between me and my wife. I spent so much time on it. So he was
sort of addicted then.
Yeah, but he says the water has been poisoned. This is what I like what he says. The water's been poisoned for quite some time as far as interaction is concerned. Social media has become a high school playground where the challenge is what idiot can come up with the best insult, and do you end up congratulating, and you end up congratulating them for it. It's really sad. And that's kind of what it is. It's a one-upmanship for the most part that I see in comments. When people comment on a post, it turns into insults back and forth, and there's like a victor if somebody has the biggest insult.
Well, and there's also, it's a platform for outrage. A platform for virtue signaling and for that as well. I agree.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody wants to back down.
Listen, I don't mind. Listen, if you're outraged about something, you want to post that. But then this back and forth thing,
yes,
of
like Army Hammer's thing, for example, would be a perfect example.
Yeah, either that, he said, or people just pushing their own respective ideas on everyone, trying to shove everything down everybody's throats. And so
I think I'm going
to
post that on Twitter.
And so much elitism and so much lack of camaraderie and lack of unity. It's become a very, very ugly thing. When asked if he would rejoin Twitter, Draymond said, nope, never returning to Twitter.
Do you know what social media was made for? And we were just talking about this. It's made for people who couldn't quite cut it on Boy Meets World.
yeah, what's that girl say?
She's worth it.
She is. Maitland Ward? Is
something like that, yeah. I got logged out of Twitter, and I cannot log back in.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm okay with it. I think it's a sign from God that I'm supposed to be off.
Well, they probably heard about you conspiring with the other people to build GoFundMe.
I'm getting banned. But honestly, it became so contentious, and there's just so much vitriol. And I know that there's a lot of good that's on there, too. Maitland Ward, Preston, she's up on the big screen.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
I
gave it up.
What episode of Boy Meets World was that?
The last time, this is how, I'm just strictly Instagram now. So the last time I posted on Twitter was October 14th. The time before that was September 8th. And then I had one on August 27th. So that's how infrequently I'm on there. I just don't, I don't find any appeal to it anymore.
I
like Instagram. It's
you do
fun.
A lot of, and on Instagram, you do a lot of what they call tug shots, where you're pulling down. Showing your cleavage. Well,
I thought you meant I was doing a pullback.
Oh, no. That's a different tug.
You know what that is.
Yeah.
So look for my latest pullback pic on Instagram.
You can't go wrong with underboob.
No. So that's Maitland Ward.
That's what Winston Churchill said.
She was on Boy Meets World, and I was telling Steve, so yeah, acting didn't work out for her, so now she posts pictures like that on Instagram.
Well, and the crowd seems to like it.
They do seem to like it.
Marcus Mumford has revealed that a talk with his musician friend Noel Gallagher led to Mumford & Sons' upcoming album, Delta. He told Billboard, "I actually saw Noel Gallagher at a pub, and we were talking." He said, "He's such a nice man." He said, "I mean, he's a prick as well, but he's a nice man." And he said to me, "What are you doing at the moment?" I said, "Oh, man, I'm just taking a little time off, a little break from writing. I've just found it a bit hard." And he said, and he was like, "Man, what the F are you doing with your life if you're not writing songs? You're an effing songwriter. Get on with it." So I went and I wrote Delta and Guiding Light that week as a result of that conversation. So he got the ball rolling.
Wait a second.
Again.
You took me literally?
Yeah, right. Meanwhile, Mumford also said that he can't explain his songwriting process at all. In case you were asking yesterday, the Revivalists, how they go about writing songs. He said, "This Marcus Mumford said, I've never actually figured out how to write a song. I can't tell you how it happens because a lot of times it's an accident. A lot of time I just have no memory of it. So it just kind of happened."
All right.
It's like a short.
Yeah, yep. The album drops tomorrow. I am very, very excited. The last album, Wider Mind, there were some songs on it that I liked, but I don't know. I sort of felt like they felt pressure to plug in and become something that they necessarily weren't.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess as an artist, you have to remain true to yourself and not necessarily listen to the noise. You know, some artists, like, you talk about Linkin Park, for instance.
Yep.
You know, they hit the scene as one sound and sort of developed over time. And the people who liked them in the beginning didn't necessarily care for what they ended up sounding like. But that was just sort of the arc that they were going on. And
it's true. Some bands, though, can stay within their realm.
Yeah.
And they find nuance that works and keeps
AC/DC.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You know, but then you have somebody like Corey Taylor, for instance. So he's got his Slipknot thing. But then he's also got
Better Talking Car.
Stone Sour. So, you know, as a musician or a fan of music, he's got two different kinds of loves.
Yeah.
And, you know, one is that heavier side, and then the other one's more melodic.
That's, you know, Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam. He's got his groups. A couple of those guys
In fact, they all do, yeah.
Yeah, ukulele songs, man. Come on. One last story. Mick Fleetwood is offering VIP upgrades to all the Fleetwood Mac tickets on the band's current tour.
Wow.
According to a press release, says when you purchase your ticket, be sure to add the Mick Fleetwood VIP upgrade during the checkout process to get access to an exclusive meet and greet with Mick Fleetwood. More and more bands are starting to do stuff like that because you can get extra money off of it.
And that's where the money is.
I don't have any dollar amounts here, but it's going to be pricey. But listen, the majority of people have never had a chance to meet an idol like that. So if you can shell out the cash, it's a handshake and a picture, and that's pretty much it.
And a beer koozie.
But, you know, that's stuff that we have gotten to do because of the business that we've gotten in, and it's a neat thing. And you know, why they're just figuring this out right now, I don't know.
Well, because now this is, and the recent history has shown that touring is where your money's at. So you might as well milk that cow to death.
And if it's one extra hour of your time and you make an extra several thousand dollars, it's worth it.
Why not?
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That's what I got for you in music news. Should I do this? Okay, yeah. So we have a screening coming up of Ralph Breaks the Internet, and it is Monday at the UA King of Prussia. Won't be in theaters till the 21st, and I can take 7 callers right now and give you passes to go see it. It's going to be at the UA King of Prussia at 7 p.m., which means you need to be there by 6:30 to ensure that you do indeed get in and get a seat. So if you want to go see the movie, give us a call right now, and we'll take care of you. Be back in a moment. Get ready to wrap things up. Stay with us.
In the still of the night, I hear the war bell on it.
93.3 WMMR presents...
Sniffing around your door.
Hailstorm. This Saturday, indoors at BB&T Pavilion with In This Moment. Join us for complete concert coverage, broadcasting live from the venue with Marcus for a vicious indoor rock extravaganza. Get ready to get rocked with Hailstorm and In This Moment, presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
My hero. There he goes. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. It is Foo Fighters and the President Steve radio program about ready to come to a close. And finally, we're seeing snow in Bellickenwood, Pennsylvania. Moving along, it's not crazy heavy at this point, but we are expecting this wintry mix to go through midday and then turning over to rain. And by your afternoon and evening commute, it's going to be just wet, but expecting a lot of rain. From what I understand, going to be heavy rain. So if you happen to be moving around a bit today, keep that in mind. Keep your travels in mind. I want to thank the people that were featured on today's program today. Dr. Rosenberg.
Yay!
Therapist, hypnotist extraordinaire, great American smoke addict today. And we took about, I don't know, 15 to 17, 18 pounds. I don't know exactly how many people were here. Put them through the process of negative association. And hopefully they're never going to smoke again. That would be a wonderful thing if all of them walk out of this non-smokers.
It's happened many times.
It is a great American smoke out. So you can make your attempt as well today. And we'd love for you to make that a successful attempt. It's up to you. But if you need some help, get in touch with Dr. Rosenberg. Quitintnow.com is his website. And it's not just smoking. It's all kinds of stuff. It's, you know, weight loss, getting sleep, all kinds of things.
That's what I use him for. Yeah, for training purposes. And also just for the to get that little recharge in the afternoon. And then he's helped immeasurably with that.
Yep. So thank you to Dr. Rosenberger and Berg, Dr. Rosenpenis.
Dr. Rosenpenis, leave off the last penis for savings.
Being here. And actor Daniel Roebuck.
Yeah.
Director and star of the film Getting Grace. The people who had seen it that were texting him because it's an independent film were saying it was amazing. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I tried to. My digital copy didn't work last night. But he is such a nice guy. And he's a really, really talented actor and director. And he's been in hundreds of roles.
Tremendous amount of stuff. We love that he's in the area. And he's trying to do what M. Night Shyamalan has done and do all his work here. Yeah.
They're going to send us a few copies of the DVD, Preston. Okay. I probably was trying to watch it at the same time as you. So I think I shut you out of the digital copy.
Yeah, it does lock it out.
Yeah. The movie's called Getting Grace. And it's a heart tugger, if you will, or a tear jerker, whatever you want to call it. But with a...
Or a jerk tugger.
Wonderful. Or a pullbacker.
Yeah, pullbacker.
But it was a wonderfully positive story as well. So it was cool to have him by here. So thank you to Mr. Roebuck for being here. Also, thank you to God Scholl's Turkey Bacon.
Oh, my God.
GodScholl's.com. And they have a big event coming up on December 15th. Steve is going to be participating in this with you. God Scholl's Food Truck Challenge and Holiday Fair, December 15th at Head House Square.
Prepare to eat.
And some of the trucks that will be featured will be Mama's Balls.
Yes.
Humpty's Dumplings. Also, the House of Cupcakes and Philly Cakery, just to name a few. So check them out and check that event out. But you can check out GodScholl's.com for all things about them. Pierre Robert is back today. Hey, man.
Good day.
How are you?
Great. Cool. I just was curious about your smoking, because this gentleman's been by for 2 or 3 years now.
Yes, at least, right?
Maybe more.
Many more, yeah.
And so have you ever done statistics on people who, you know, maybe 5 years ago, how many of the groups have carried on with success in terms of staying away from smoking?
We've asked, judging by just people who have come up to us and people who have reported back to us, it's pretty substantial.
Cool.
I don't have any hard data, but it is not uncommon for people to have done it and walked out and never smoked again.
That's great.
Yeah.
We definitely get people who contact us to say, you know, like a year and a half later, like still smoke free. So that's awesome.
Hell, even if it's one person.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Cool, man. Shall we do the letter, sir?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that right now.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
I, as in... irreverent.
All right, and we have $500 from Ashley Home Stores, our Green Room and Privilege section sponsor for this year's camp out. Check out the Preston or Steve stand-up display in participating Ashley Home Stores, located to register to win this year's Camp Out for Hunger Green Room Furniture. We will be giving that away.
Oh, nice.
Entry deadline, I'm sorry, is Sunday, November 25th. And you can go to WMMR.com to get all the details. So we'll give that away tomorrow. What's coming up on the show today, Pierre?
We have more tickets for Muse. The tickets go on sale tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That qualifies you for the grand prize trip of meeting the band in Miami, which is cool, and seeing the show in Philly. Also, we will have tickets for Nick Mason, the drummer of Pink Floyd, and his show A Saucer Full of Secrets. And that will be Saturday, April 20th at the Met. Those go on sale tomorrow, too. I will also have some cool Workforce Blocks live. We'll have Iron Maiden, the big show, or as Jackie would say, Iron Maiden.
It's not wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's Iron.
It's completely wrong. But it's a crash landing of vocabulary. And anyway, we'll have Iron Maiden tickets. No, we won't have Iron.
Oh, my.
We'll just have a block of Iron Maiden.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay, yes.
And I almost said a bad word.
I know. You were right there.
I was right on the F.
Yeah.
We'll have a block of Live. And then we'll wrap up with a block of Heart, and we have an interview with Nancy Wilson.
Wow. No way!
Or is it Ann? No, it's Nancy Wilson.
Nancy.
Yeah.
Nancy. It's artist extraordinaire.
Yeah. No, it's Ann Wilson, the singer.
God. Oh, it's Ann? Okay.
Bless America. Yeah.
Singer extraordinaire.
I knew I shouldn't have smoked that pot this morning. I'm kidding. I don't smoke pot anymore.
No, it's strictly really, meth.
No. Eat it. Yeah. If it was meth, I'd be a lot more energetic than I am. So, no, I don't do that either. Do you have a martini? I'd like a martini.
I'll get you one in 10 seconds.
Okay, good. Bubba John, who used to be on the evening shift at Rittenhouse Square, there was a bar right around the corner from the station, and he would call in about 7 p.m. his evening order, and they would put his drinks on a tray and walk them out of the Bullshot Saloon across the street, down the quarter of a block to the Rittenhouse location of the Wellington of MMR, get in the elevator and bring them up to him.
That's service. Awesome. Yeah.
That is service.
I keep some booze in my desk.
That's a good thing.
I do. And it's not for, I don't drink at work, but, you know, this is radio, and sometimes you end up having to sleep here. It happens.
It does.
You know, whether it be weather or you have to cover for somebody, so I have booze for just such an occasion.
God bless you, lad.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, Pierre's going to give you a wonderful program today. I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Tomorrow, a visit in studio by Big Jay Oakers.
Yeah!
Jay's hilarious, man. And we have our calendar girl extraordinaire, Hottie Cam. We meet all the ladies tomorrow. You don't know who they are yet, but you will by the end of tomorrow's program.
And the big reveal, who's on the cover of the calendar.
Find that all out tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, calendar release party. Chickens and Pete's in South Philadelphia, 7 till 10 p.m. Free of charge. Come and see us. Get your calendar, one per person. That is it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, okay? Bye-bye.